about. You ready? This is take one.
And one, and two, and away we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Here's something brand new, just in time for Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot for that info. Have a good truck and trip.
It's time to face the hole.
This is not a joke, okay? It was offensive and lame, so double offensive.
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball hotline.
Yes, sir.
And now.
Lucky for us, the Indians never said, let's round up all these pilgrims and send them back where they belong.
Our feature presentation.
She's got a point.
She definitely has a point.
We are lucky that didn't happen.
By the way, I miss The West Wing desperately. Of all the TV shows that have come and gone that are off the air, that's the one I think I maybe miss the most.
That is a great, great show.
It was.
God, I loved that show so much. When I'm done watching all the Mad Men's again on DVD, maybe I'll go back and start up with The West Wing. That'll keep me busy for a while. There was something like seven seasons of it.
Yeah. Dude, you should put them on your iPod. That's the way to do it when you're traveling and stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Hey, you made it this morning.
Yeah, of course.
You had like 30 seconds to spare.
I know. And I was trying to figure out how to slow down so I didn't get here that early. But, you know, I like to cut it tight.
Are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's going to be the Wednesday, but feels like a Friday edition of Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. We didn't get a chance to talk about this story yesterday, but I was fascinated with this over the weekend. Maybe you guys saw it. The guy named Ram Huben, who is a patient in Belgium who has been in a coma for 23 years. Did you see this dude?
No.
I did hear some of this story, yeah.
Fantastic story. He was in a near-fatal car crash back in 1983. He's been in a coma, or so they thought. He actually has been in a vegetative state that allowed him to be aware of everything in the room and not be brain dead, as the doctors have been telling his family for 23 years. So when we go to visit this guy and we're making all the jokes in his room about what a vegetable he is, he's hearing every word of it.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
But he can't, he's not faking and he can't tell them any of this.
He can't. He said he would try to scream and nothing would come out. I mean, it's just
the
most horrifying.
This is exactly what it was like when Lisa May ate the brownies.
That is exactly right.
She was on the couch and we said, is she alive?
I knew everything that was
going on.
She's
not moving. And she could hear all of our words.
But I couldn't move.
What has happened is they have developed better techniques to map the brain in the years since the man was in the car accident. So now they say, oh, he's in a minimally conscious state, and he had been misdiagnosed as being in a coma all these years. But can you imagine all the things he must have heard laying there, not being able to respond, couldn't speak, could hear everybody talking about him and to him, mm-hmm. and couldn't do anything about it? It must have been unbelievably frustrating. But I think they've set him up now, haven't they, Lisa? Didn't you hear now he can do some sort of typing thing with his mind or something? I mean, he's one of these guys now that can communicate. That's how we're finding out all this.
Yeah, exactly. And they said that his family, because they were whoever was interviewing this doctor was congratulating him, and he says, it's not me. His family, there something was going on between he and his family that really gave them the very distinct impression that he was in some way aware.
Oh, really?
Wow. I don't know what it was, but they just...
Every once in a while, he'd just pick up his middle finger and flip him off.
Something like that.
But a story like this, though, you know this is going to have a lot of repercussions because there are so many people who have made the argument, hey, he's gone. It's just a body. He's brain dead. Go ahead and pull the plug. And now maybe you find out that some of those people are in there going, no!
Would rather you didn't.
Back but off!
Seriously, would you want to be there for 20 years?
No.
Even if you were minimally conscious?
No, I don't think so.
It does suck. He says he's glad to be back and kind of out of the prison because now at least he can read and he can, you know, type messages to his family and stuff like that. So now at least he has some interaction with the world rather than just laying there in a dark room.
Right.
For 23 years, though.
I know.
Wow.
I know, dude. It's weird. I don't want to be corny or anything, but it is, you know, the Thanksgiving season. Let's wake up and be thankful that we can, you know, walk and talk and hear and see and all those things that this guy, you know, hasn't been able to do for all that time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Imagine Bean's envy of this guy. Just laying there for 23 years, not going out doing anything.
Imagine not being able to change the channel, though, for 23 years. That's got to hurt.
Stuck on whatever it is you got.
Oh, all right, let's begin with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. You get all of the music from the latest albums of bands on night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009. That's AFI, Rise Against. We'll give you the new Alice in Chains, 30 Seconds to Mars, 3 Days Grace, Dead by Sunrise, Amberlin. All of that for you for being on the air with Kevin and Bean this morning.
Let's start with DeJuan.
Yep.
It's always DeJuan. a good way to start today. Hey, DeJuan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, DeJuan.
What's going on?
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, the Lakers won last night against the New York Knicks.
Yes, they did.
So the Lakers got 100 points.
I started watching that game kind of in the late first quarter, and games like that, I mean, listen, I'm a Laker fan. I want the Lakers to win. Games like that are so boring because you know that they're going to beat the Knicks. The Knicks really don't have any chance.
Yeah.
And nor do the Knicks seem to care. You know, it's just like they're almost just biding their time to see if they can get LeBron James.
I agree. There's bad teams, and then there's the Knicks.
Yeah.
It's a whole different level. I mean, it's as if they don't even try.
So it was like, you know, I was glad that the Lakers were winning, but there was just no even question whether they were going to, just by how much.
Yeah.
Basically.
But it ended up being a 10, which is not a blowout, but you get the sense that the Lakers could have made it more if they needed to.
Right, exactly. DeJuan, Nick hater? Do you hate the Knicks?
Not really.
You're supposed
to.
You're supposed to. You're supposed to, as a Lakers fan, you're supposed to hate the Knicks. You're supposed to hate the Celtics.
Yeah, and I hope my friend Laura watched it last night.
Me too.
I hope so too.
She's
I bet
a Lakers
you.
Fan, yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, you got to be happy. Ever since Powell came back, they've been pretty much firing on all cylinders, right, DeJuan?
Yep.
Hey, DeJuan, who's your favorite Laker?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. There you go.
Very good. All right, DeJuan. Well, listen, have a great Thanksgiving. If we probably won't talk to you, so have a great one, and we'll talk to you in December, okay?
All right.
Thank you, okay. DeJuan. Peace
Bye-bye,
out.
DeJuan. And peace out. I meant peace out, yeah. Right?
Real quick, speaking of the Lakers, did you guys see Ron Artest do Kimmel's show the other night in his underwear?
No.
Yeah.
In his underwear?
Yeah.
Oh, I had that recorded.
What was he doing in Jimmy's underwear?
He wasn't not in Jimmy's.
In his own. But he did a late-night talk show in his boxers.
Wow. Right.
I didn't entertaining.
Know, when I was saying I didn't like him, it was based on his play on the court.
Right.
I didn't know he was crazy. You know, for me, that makes a big difference.
Now you love him?
There were. By the way, speaking of Kobe, and then we'll go to another call. There were a couple times last night where you just go, no. No, you can't do that.
People don't do that.
They would triple team him, you know, and he would get through all three of them and you just go, well, that's not even fair. Ridiculous.
Let's try Jeff on line 7 calling about another very funny story in the news this week. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for checking in. What'd it do?
What up, Dr. Butch? Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, the other night on the news, I saw this thing. There's a rash of assault on ginger kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing was that they were blaming South Park.
Well, yeah, there was a South Park episode where they went around kicking ginger kids, what they call kids with red hair.
Right.
And these kids were doing the exact same thing.
And they called them ginger kids. So there might be some connection.
I don't think it's just that they're blaming South Park. I think that South Park is responsible for the behavior.
And by responsible, exactly. You mean South Park was on the air and those kids were responsible for their own behavior.
Right. That's but they mean. Got the idea from South Park, though.
Right.
Clearly. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, look. Redheaded kids, they got it coming.
Really?
Right? Who's with me? They got it coming.
All those freckles.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
He just shouldn't be standing there with that weird red hair. It's just not right. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's try Tom. He's going to tell you about a celebrity we haven't talked about in a long time on line 4. Hey, Tom, what it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, Cali Boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I went to go visit my dad at San Fernando High School, and as I was there, William Hung walked by. Apparently he's a substitute teacher there right now.
Yes?
All right, I have two questions. One is,
no.
What is your dad still in high school?
No, he's an administrator there.
Got it. And the other one is, you just said William Hung was a substitute teacher there. William Hung, the dude from American Idol?
Yes, sir. He was. Yeah, apparently he's going for his one of his doctorates, and I guess he's studying, and he's substituting right now. I guess even the economy got him back.
How about that?
Wow. William Hung, your thoughts?
Even with a lot of talent in singing, even with a lot of talent in whatever you choose to do, you still have to put in this hard work. Mm-hmm. And you need that determination and perseverance not to give up.
Would you be able to sit in Dr. Hung's class with a straight face and listen to what he had to say?
All day. Well, not with a straight face, no, but all day. That guy's the best. That's cool.
Wow. Yep. All these teachers are getting laid off, and that guy's working
William
as a teacher?
Hung.
Really?
He's there.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's squeeze in one more. Robert sounds like he's got a great holiday story on line 8. Hey, Robert. What it do, nephew?
Hey, bubbles out, people. Hey,
and you as well.
So I was at the grocery store the other day, and these two old ladies were digging through the freezer section. One of them found the turkey, so she was the last one. She grabbed it. She went to, kind of a little lady run to her cart, dropped it on her toe. So the turkey slides across the floor. She's tending to her toe, and the other lady that was looking for the turkey as well runs over and steals it from her.
Yes! Hey, it's like a live fumble, man. You got to get back on that. Whatever team gets it, it's theirs.
Wow.
That's awesome. And then did the woman that had it originally start yelling?
Oh, yeah. She was all pissed off. But her toe was in worse shape than her need for the turkey. So
the other woman got it.
Yep. The other woman made off with her turkey.
Hey, rules
that
of the game, man.
A beautiful, warm story just in time for the holidays.
It is.
Glad to see the spirit. That's nice.
That's what makes America great, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right there. Yeah.
She wants the turkey. The other woman has it. She gets hurt. Dies.
I was in a Safeway last night, store last night, and man, the crowds for those turkeys. I mean, it was insane in there. I mean, I'm glad I'm not going today, but even last night was crazy.
How many do they do? I mean, I don't know that world. Is that hundreds, thousands? I mean, is that how it works?
What do you mean, how many people come in?
Yeah.
For thousands.
Turkeys. Oh, yeah. Thousands. Yeah. Thousands of people go through stores, to get turkeys. I mean, it's the one thing that virtually everyone is making tomorrow, So it was just crazy. I should have known better than to go in there yesterday.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay. Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We got Petros Papadakis in the studio talking college football, USC, UCLA. Other games this weekend, the NFL, and just a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
We have Adam Carolla in the studio today.
All right.
Again, a lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling.
It's going to be a loud show. You had a gun pulled on you. We're going to take your stories on that.
Wow.
You made a brief mention of that at the end of yesterday's program, and I can't believe how many emails came in from people that this has happened to.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's quite commonplace.
Yeah, and when it happens to you, it's one of the weirdest things in the world. I mean, we're not talking about... You're in a gang and you're in a fight and somebody pulls a gun.
Or you're a cop.
Or you're a cop, right. I mean, where that makes sense. It's just out of the blue for no reason.
Regular Joe Schmo.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to do that today. We have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009, night number one. We have those in the 6 o'clock hour. We have the movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
And just after 6, about a half hour from right now, we have Alice from Twilight New Moon. Ashley Green.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
So I don't think there is a Team Alice, but I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm in it, whatever. I'll start
it.
Let's ask her. Ask her if we can start a Team Alice. That's a great idea.
So that's it today. It's going to be a really good show, and we'll take a quick break and come back.
Excuse me, I think there's something. I think you're leaving off something else that's happening later on today.
That didn't sound like we would even not get through all that. I mean, really packed.
No, I think we've got room to make at least one 800-number phone call today, because maybe we have some questions for the fine folks who work the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Oh, you didn't get the memo.
There was no memo.
No, there was no memo.
We're not allowed. The lawyers said.
What?
The lawyers said that the turkeys are going to sue. So we can't do that.
Sorry.
Let's talk about this off the air, Bean. It's embarrassing.
Holiday tradition.
Yeah, it's
coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. We'll come back after this. Why speculate who would win between Kevin and Dave in an arm wrestling match when Kevin and Dave are both here in the room? It seems to me like that would easily be decided.
Well, I don't want to embarrass the guy.
Until the torque snaps Kevin's spine.
You know what I mean?
take him out in a backboard.
Dude, there was this one time earlier in my life where I had to arm wrestle for the custody of my kids.
So I had to go to the championship.
No, I think that
and
was,
I had the arm.
That was
a Sylvester Stallone movie called Over the Top.
That wasn't you at all.
If I'm not mistaken.
You're fine. Oh. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hello, Ralph. How are you?
Oh.
What?
Can you feel the excitement in the air?
Ashley Green.
Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
We are just about 24 hours away from the kickoff of the 83rd annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Woo!
You're the only one that likes...
Woo!
You like parades,
oh,
don't you?
I don't like parades, but I love the Macy's. You know why?
Why?
Giant helium balloons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not so much a parade guy.
The Runaway?
Good lineup this year. Oh.
Lineup.
We got Abby Cadabby.
For those of you that listen seldom, Ralph is kidding.
Not kidding. Abby Cadabby.
Who watches this parade?
Giant helium balloons. Giant helium balloons rule. Shrek, Buzz Lightyear, Dora the Explorer, Energizer Bunny, Horton the Elephant, Kermit the Frog, Pikachu, Pillsbury Doughboy, Ronald McDonald, Mickey Mouse, Papa Smurf, Snoopy, and Spider-Man. That's the lineup this year. Awesome.
And by awesome, Ralph means it's not going to be so good, but other people will like it.
Maybe a Stewie this year from Family Guy, too.
Uh-huh.
That may be the special guest. Giant inflatable Stewie.
Yeah, like that's a real thing.
Awesome. It's going to be awesome.
When you say awesome, you mean you're not going to watch.
Awesome. Miley Cyrus is going to be in there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's going to be
with
in the parade.
Pole.
With a pole. Right up her holiday. Anyway, speaking of Miley Cyrus, she told the New York Post that she was shocked the other day when she went into a burger joint. She was asked for her name while ordering, and she giggled and said, Miley. And the employee said, okay, and just started going about their business. And she
didn't
know who Miley Cyrus was.
That's
so she made a point of announcing, yeah, I'm Miley Cyrus. And according to the reporter, the person, the fry cook behind the counter said, that's nice for you. Have a good day. Still not having any idea who the 17-year-old superstar was.
I love that employee.
Yeah. You're good for you. You've got two names. Congratulations.
Look, I'm sure she gets recognized everywhere she goes.
Yes.
But how do you get to that point where you don't accept the fact that somebody wouldn't recognize you and go, I'm Miley Cyrus?
Wouldn't it be nice for that not to happen when you give your name that someone freaks out?
Yeah.
You would think.
Nice just to get your burger and go?
Bitch.
That's why I have to make up a name when I go to Starbucks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cover up your true identity.
Tired of that.
Yeah, I'm so tired of they'll call everybody over. Then I'm autographing coffee beans all day. You know what I'm saying? That's why I always say my name is Cliff.
Cliff.
Yeah. Cliff.
Huxtable?
Clifford.
Clifford.
Clifford. Yes. Russell Brand is doing his best to stay faithful to his girlfriend, Katy Perry. Which isn't easy for Russell Brand, by the way.
Yeah, he's not going to, so she should move on.
He is going to stay faithful. He's committed. He tells the UK's Daily Mirror he's desperate to prove he can be faithful and has taken things to the extreme. He recently called his girlfriend every 15 minutes while he was partying at a fetish club in England called Porn Dwarf.
Porn Dwarf?
Yeah.
That's got everything.
It does. It's got everything in one place. But he checked in with her every 15 minutes just to let her know that he was being a good boy.
Don't you think after the third call she would go, look, all right, fine.
Go bang someone. Do something.
Stop calling me.
Leave me be. But I guess, by the way, you can certainly operate a cell phone and be banging somebody at the same time. But
yeah,
that's
well, that's true.
He does seem like a sexaholic, by the way, Russell.
He was.
I don't know if he is.
Read his book. Yeah, he's in recovery. He was a drug addict and a sexaholic. And
was in the loony bin for a while, too.
Yeah. He was. He committed himself.
He has it all.
He's committed. He can be committed. I know that much. Speaking of sex and celebrities, we're getting a little closer, boys and girls. A little bit closer.
To a sex tape?
To Lindsay Lohan's career in porn.
Yeah, that's happening for sure. Just when is the question.
Word is she just finished a raunchy photo shoot for a French magazine called Purple.
Purple.
Apparently, fans can look forward to seeing her simulate a menage a trois with a man and another woman on camera for the photo shoot.
That'd be sweet.
So, we're getting there, little by little.
Inch by inch. I hope it gets here sooner rather than later, though, with how poorly she's aging.
Inch by inch.
We got it.
Yeah. Because I don't know that you're going to want to see her in a sex tape in about 3 years.
Easy.
She looks
terrible.
She does, you're, but Ralph. You're not. But okay. But you're not going to want to see her in a sex tape. Then fine.
No, I'm just saying.
When it happens, remember, we're going to pull that tape, and you don't get to watch.
No. What I'm saying is, compared to how she looked a couple of years ago, she looks like she's aged about 15 years in the last two.
Right.
What's she going to look like in another three? That's
right.
My fear.
But she makes porn. We're all watching. Is
we'll
what
watch.
I'm saying.
But I agree with Bean that, and I hope it's sooner than later because
that's all I'm saying.
There is a downward slide going on.
Right.
Still hot, way hot. Trust me, I'm not saying she's not. But
that's what I'm saying.
She doesn't look.
Bean said he's not sure if he wants to see her in a porn.
Of course,
what I'm saying is, I'd rather drink the milk on the day it expires, not 2 weeks after it expires.
No,
that's my point.
That's BS because you drink the milk when it's expired by putting chocolate in it.
That's true.
That's what you do.
Maybe someone will put some chocolate in Lindsay. She'll be fine.
Her doing porn is the chocolate. That's the chocolate milk. You got Lindsay Lohan, we've known forever, banging on film. That's chocolate milk. That yum, 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 yum. Drink up. God damn. Somebody pull Bean off Mount Olympus, will you?
I'm not sure if I would watch, given her current condition.
Kevin knows what I'm saying.
I'm saying we're all watching.
Shut up.
I'm watching,
spiral.
you're watching. Callie's watching, we're all watching.
We are all watching.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, of course.
I think we'll all enjoy it more now than 3 years from now, though. But we'll watch.
Whenever it happens.
We'll watch.
Whenever it happens.
I'm with you.
Get the popcorn out.
That's what
I'm saying.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
And then a big Lindsay helium balloon for the parade. That's all I'm saying.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Today's celebrity...
That woman really knows her way around a penis.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tim Armstrong of Rancid is 44 years old today. Jill Hennessy, who was on Crossing Jordan for many years. And other...
Bell!
Other TV shows. Yeah, Jill Hennessy gets the bell. 40 years old. Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Samantha who?
Hey.
Of course, she was president of China for a while.
That's the same person.
38 years old today. Professional NFL quarterback named Donovan McNabb celebrates his birthday today.
He's with the New York Giants, right?
No, sir. Incorrect,
Washington
sir.
Redskins?
No, sir.
Dallas Cowboys. Sorry.
No, sir.
Tampa Bay?
Incorrect, sir.
I can't think of what team he might be with.
Just look it up. Just Google it. Google Donovan McNabb. You'll see what team he plays for.
He's retired, though.
Yeah, he's not retired.
He used to play for a team.
He just don't play.
What's he doing for the playoffs?
Playing?
Nothing.
That's what he's doing?
Okay.
All right. Oh, Seattle Seahawks fans talking playoffs, by
yeah,
the way.
Well.
That's all I want to
hey,
say.
The
That's
Seahawks
all I
suck.
Want to
that
say.
That doesn't make the Eagles any better.
It does, actually. It makes them a lot better. Look at their record. They're better. Suck it!
No. Okay, go ahead.
And Katie Cassidy from Melrose Place celebrates
her
birthday.
All right.
23-year-old Katie Cassidy. Oh, you know what? Me in a three-way with Diamond McNabb and Katie Cassidy? Heaven! Heaven!
Why would you name him first and not her?
Heaven!
Because Katie Cassidy's going to get ignored in that three-way if Ralph's involved. That's
Heaven!
Why.
What do you say?
Heaven.
Ralph Garman will walk the showbiz beat. I guess what I'm saying is Twilight didn't make enough money over the weekend. I think that's the problem with Twilight. It's not a big enough hit, Kevin. So.
Well, I haven't been yet.
That was only first weekend. I mean,
yeah.
They do have to. They got to get their money back, the investment, you know?
Sure. A lot of work. Yeah.
Advertising budget, they got to get that back.
Twilight Saga: New Moon is America's number one film. We couldn't be more delighted to welcome, honestly, the only person we give a damn in the whole movie anyway, Ashley Green, ladies and gentlemen, is joining us. She is Alice on the movie, and she joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We weren't joking. You're it for us in Twilight. We don't care about the rest of it. Where the hell is Team Alice? What's going
You're
on
my
here?
Favorite. Thank you.
Is there a Team Alice? Because I'd like to be on it.
There is a Team Alice.
All right. All right.
You're on it.
Well, I'm we got to get some T-shirts or something. All right, tell me, this has got to be so weird. I mean, we're always fascinated with the lives of you actors. It has to be so weird to be done with this movie for a long time, knowing it's great and waiting for it to come out, but then to be sitting around as the box office comes in on Friday and then on Saturday, it had to just blow you away to see how big this thing got.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's question is like, oh, did you expect blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, who expects $140 million? Like, if you do, I feel like you're kind of an idiot.
Yeah, that's really once every 10 years, if that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just hoping to do better than we did last year. And when I got that email, I was thrilled.
I'll bet.
So what happens for you guys who, you know, clearly are, I mean, obviously the source material, there's so many fans of Stephanie Meyer's books, but I mean, people have really taken to you stars of this film. I mean, does the studio send you over a new car or anything? Do you get anything good out of a great opening like that?
I don't don't know yet. Oh, maybe I'll get home and have a car. I hope so. I mean, I've heard, you know, stories from, I've got friends that were in, you know, like the Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and stuff like that, and they, the studio will gift them with stuff, but it's a little soon, I think, to think about it, because we've been on this crazy press tour, so I haven't been home in,
well,
in a month.
Just in case any of them are listening, you want to put out your wish list? So I was like, what kind of car
I mean,
you like?
I wouldn't mind a Christmas bonus, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go. Now, is this true? You filmed the New Moon movie at the same time as the third film in the series, Eclipse, which you're already done with.
We didn't film it at the same time. We had about a month and a half off. And then we filmed Eclipse. And then about a week after Eclipse wrapped, we started the press tour for New Moon.
Wow.
So you already have the next one done as well.
That's so weird. So
we're
now you're
like Twilight World.
Yeah, no pun intended, right? You got to feel like you're completely out of sync. Like everybody's getting caught up with this movie. You're already done with the next one. It must be tough to even keep everything straight when you do interviews.
The press junket was a little difficult for all of us, I think, because it was, you know, we have a massive cast, and it was, and some people, a couple people from the third, but all from, you know, the second, but we just finished the third, and so they would ask us questions,
right,
and we would start answering, and then we would have to stop ourselves and be like, wait.
Which one?
Talking about that one yet? What about the fans? Do you have a lot of the book says this, your movie does that kind of stuff, or they
no, we're, I mean, I don't read the blogs anymore because...
Why?
I would go absolutely mad.
I like the word anymore because clearly you didn't. It went south.
Oh, I did. I was like working at the Belmont and then all of a sudden they were kind of going, okay, so you're going to Portland in 2 weeks. Congratulations, you have a job.
Wow.
And then, you know, all of a sudden, it went from the fans being excited, you know, the ones that were following the book to like all of this hype in Hollywood and,
right,
and it turned into this humongous thing.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Ashley. I mean, you show up in the tabloids. There's no question that there are people who like to follow you, and you rarely embarrass yourself, but you also don't have 1,000 people waiting outside your hotel room like it seems like Robert and Kristen do. I mean, how do you handle it, and what do you think of what they're going through with all this Twilight mania?
The one, I think, lucky part about it is that we are traveling and we're, you know, part of this crazy press tour and the third one comes out in June. And so we don't have as much time to kind of take in what's going on. But I mean, I can't imagine. I know for me, going from 0 to 60, I'm just a little kind of, I feel like my equilibrium is a little off still.
Yeah.
Learning how to deal with stuff like this, and so for them it's kind of tenfold. And the funny thing about it happening to people like Kristen and Rob is that they're so not in it for the fame. You know, like
right,
anyone that you could give this burst of fame to, these are not two people that are, I don't think, are ready for it.
I don't expect you to comment too much on this because you can't, because you're, you know, friends and or work partners, but Rob complains a lot and doesn't seem like he seems like he should complain less.
Like he doesn't.
He's like his what?
He should complain less. It just there's a lot of, oh wow, all the fans and all the, you know, I don't know. It just comes across as a little.
I think that's part of though. Also, I'm in general charismatic. My dad talks to everyone and anyone, and I think I kind of got that trait from him. And
right,
this is a little easier for me to deal with. I think for him, if you're thrown into a situation like that, like you wouldn't. He doesn't know. He's not been. There's no school on this, and so you know, he really is that awkward guy, and he doesn't think. I don't think a lot of times before he speaks, and I think it's really from a good place. It just gets kind of misconstrued.
Does his skin actually now still turn into diamonds in the sun?
he's made of diamonds.
Diamonds, okay. Right.
Look, I'm sure he and all of the stars of Twilight appreciate the you know, the attention and the fact that their work is appreciated and they're successful. But I don't blame somebody for complaining if you can't walk down a street without girls coming up and ripping clothes or hair off.
Yeah,
of
that would, I mean, sure,
that would
suck.
That would be a miserable way to live.
That would be. That would just be awful. Boy, would I hate that. Wow.
You know, well, I would.
You go through 25 shirts. Yeah.
Right. Ashley, by the way, yeah, you're good in Twilight, New Moon. You're better in Maxim. I just say, I can just put that out there. You do good work.
You know, I trained with my coach for about 3 weeks before I did that.
Yes.
All right. We have a minute left or something with Ashley Green. We're talking about Twilight Saga New Moon. You're lame, apparently, if you haven't been yet, because it's what all the kids are doing, and it's in theaters now. So now that you're done with Eclipse and you're virtually done with the press tour for this movie, what happens next? Do you actually take some time off, or are you going to run out and do a non-Twilight movie in the interim?
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm doing a film called Apparition in Berlin. Probably, I mean, starts February 1st. I'll be down there a couple weeks before. But it's a new Joel Silver, Warner Brothers, Dark Castle film that I'm the lead in. So.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I'll
check you out.
Soon.
All right, one last Twilight question. Because I haven't read the books. I don't know in which book they finally come out with the fact that Bella will be happier with you than Edward. Like, because really, you... she wants Edward to turn her. He doesn't want to. You step in and you say, oh, I'll turn you. It's clearly happening. Right?
In the fourth book, there's...
a love scene between Bella and your character.
The fourth book gets a little crazy. And if you really read into it and read between the lines, there's definitely a love scene there.
Do you have to read between the lines a lot? Just a little. Just checking.
All right.
The lines of my book, which I've written in, actually.
That's what I'm talking about. Twilight Saga, New Moon, in theaters now. Ashley, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show. Have a great Thanksgiving and a happy happy holiday season, all right?
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Ashley. Bye now.
Our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us next hour. Plus, the call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline, an annual tradition on the Kevin DeBean Show, is going to be happening. By the way, Kevin did everything he could to put the kibosh on that yesterday. We were planning.
Tried. So I heard.
Did a scientific survey, and it was 2-2, Ralph.
It was in danger. Listeners emailing me in a panic, saying they feared that it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, so close.
Fortunately, it worked out, so that'll be a little bit more than an hour from right now coming up on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, it's Friday. How about the movie Beat Hit It, Steve?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Come on.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey, boys and girls. It is Thanksgiving weekend. Traditionally a crappy weekend for movies.
That's surprising because it seems like people would have more time, no?
No, because you're spending time with family and then you have to go right back to work on Monday. It's like the Christmas holiday. We have a lot of time to kill. So they don't tend to really invest too much in the Thanksgiving weekend, traditionally, every year, when it comes to movies. And this year is no exception, as far as I can tell. Let's take a look at some of the movies opening up in Cineplexes this weekend. Me and Orson Welles, finally, the Zac Efron drama we've all been waiting for.
Oh, wow.
I'm going.
Shut up. Zac Efron plays a struggling actor who finds himself cast in Orson Welles' staging of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar in 1937. I kid you not.
Nope.
This is an actual movie, and they actually put Zac Efron in it.
No.
Zac Efron in, like, an art house, artsy-fartsy drama. Wrong, sir. Just wrong-headed casting.
Isn't it possible that he broke through with High School Musical, but that he actually has skills beyond that?
No way!
There's no chance he might be a decent actor, Ralph?
Nope.
Okay.
Here's a scene where Zach is auditioning for the legendary actor and director and producer Orson Welles to get in his 1937 staging of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Asleep yet?
Yes.
I know I am.
Yeah.
Please enjoy.
Can you sing?
I'm ready! Hold on a minute! Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Have you tried Wheaties? For wheat is the best food of man. They're crunchy.
You're hired.
Oh my gosh, I can't find it so beautiful.
Wait, that happened?
That happened. And apparently it happens for 2 hours on a movie theater screen.
Wow.
But if you're not interested in that, you can go see The Princess and the Frog. Yes, Walt Disney. Tired of the accusation that the only black character they have is Mickey Mouse.
Because Mouse is black?
He's a black mouse, sure. Oh, right. His face is white, but his fur is black.
Okay, so he's a Michael Jackson.
Exactly. All right. have come up with The Princess and the Frog, the story of a princess in New Orleans French Quarter. And apparently there's a frog who's a prince, and she's got to kiss the prince.
in order to get them to stop being a frog and stuff like that there. So take the kids to go see Princess and the Frog, won't you?
You have quite an understanding of that.
Because Disney needs your dollars.
Kiss it.
That's what she says to the frog. Old Dogs opens this weekend. Oh,
Kevin.
Robin Williams and John Travolta, finally, the comedy duo yes. we've all been waiting for. And they get into some wacky adventures because Robin Williams finds out that he had two kids with an old flame that he didn't know about. So she shows up out of nowhere in his life with the twins that he's the father of. And now he has to be in charge of them. But he doesn't know anything about raising kids because he's a wild bachelor. And these kids just land on his doorstep.
This is a brand new concept. I know
really
that.
It really is. Usually you go back to The Rock to see a movie like this. Well, good thing his best friend, John Travolta, doesn't know anything about parenting either. He helps him out. And these two guys get into so much trouble. And then at some point, Seth Green gets captured by a gorilla and has to sing to him, F this movie, F it hard.
By the way, you know, from time to time we talk about the Rotten Tomatoes and their aggregate critical ratings of films. This one got 9% positive.
Ooh.
9.
Kevin, by the way, cannot wait to see this movie. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know, people.
Here's what I said.
On the Kevin scale, it's a 10, nope. which means that That's your eyes will bleed if you watch it.
Here's what I said. I said, it's funny when Seth Green is singing in the arms of the gorilla. That made me laugh and made me want to go see it.
And
That's
all
what
said,
I said.
Really?
But then, you know, you hear other things and you go, okay, well, that isn't necessary.
But how long have Hollywood comedies had the guy in the gorilla suit?
Don't know. Just knew and made me laugh.
It was old when the Three Stooges were doing it in 1935. Mo, look out! There's a gorilla! I'm a guy in a gorilla suit. Everyone's scared of me.
I can't go back and take back my laughter. It doesn't work that way. It happened. That happened.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Well, here's the scene Kevin loves, where Seth Green is captured by a gorilla and has to sing, because it's a gorilla, and that's how you get rid of gorillas.
We're in the gorilla enclosure. Don't move. Don't look at him in the eyes. Just look away. If you don't see him, he doesn't see you. Just back up to the top.
No, you have to be aggressive with the lingerie, because I've read about this.
Every man for himself!
I'm all out of love. So lost without you.
I know you were right. Believe so lost.
Come on. He's singing an Air Supply song. How lame is that? Ralph, don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. He's eyeballing me.
That's on you, man. That's on you.
Is there any chance that Paul Blart runs into the scene to save
Seth Green? I sure hope so. The Road. Nothing says Thanksgiving like a nice post-apocalyptic nuclear landscape.
This looks awesome, though, right, Ralph?
I don't know. This looks,
Vigo? Come on.
It looks just relentlessly grim. I don't know. This is the story of a father and son who walk for months across a ravaged, post-apocalyptic United States trying to survive. Good times.
I read that book, and I just wept at the end. It is the most depressing.
But you get some cannibalism, right? You get that going
yes,
for you.
Yes, there's that. There's
people?
That.
Sure.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
God, it's brutal.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, this is, by all accounts, just a horrible, horribly bleak, brutal film to watch.
This isn't the execution of it by the actors and director. This is
no,
the material.
It's the story.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is
yeah.
a sliver of hope on the last page that you hang on to with all your might.
Knowing that that's not going to come true.
Yeah. Oh, it's rough.
Charlize Theron plays Vigo's wife, but apparently her story is told strictly in backstory.
Because
so,
she's daddy dead
she's
dead.
She's well dead by the time they get into the meat of the story. So if you're looking for something to... If you want to slice the turkey and then your throat, apparently this is the movie for you. Here is a scene where Viggo Mortensen, who's the dad, who is walking around this post-apocalyptic bleak landscape with his son, runs into another traveler played by Robert Duvall. And they have a conversation about the man upstairs. I'm talking about God.
How would you know that? That you were the last man alive.
Well, I guess you know that you just knew it.
God would know. God would know what. God would know what. If there's a God up there, he would have turned his back on us by now. And whoever made humanity will find no humanity here.
Whoever made humanity will find no humanity here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. Yeah. And then we got Ninja Assassin.
That's what I'm talking
Ninja
about.
Ninja Assassin.
That's what I'm talking
really?
About.
Really?
Yes. This looks awesome.
It does, but the people who released Ninja Assassin, did the movie naming department, were they closed that day when they came up with this one? Ninja Assassin? Is this from the makers of Cowboy Gunfighter? And Swimmer Splash-A-Lot?
Nothing says Thanksgiving like Ninja Assassin.
But Ninja, did they just run out of names?
Yes.
What do we got? You got a Ninja Assassin movie. Let's call it Ninja Assassin. I can't be bothered to name this film. Just release it.
You know that was a placeholder, you know, until they came up with a real name, and then they never did.
Ninja Assassin sounds like the movie the kids in Twilight would go to see. Right? An adult feature punch? With face punch. It sounds like, Ninja Assassin sounds like the movie on a marquee in a movie, when the couple is walking past the theater and you look up and see what's playing, and it says Ninja Assassin. It's just sort of a generic movie that doesn't really exist. Well, apparently it does.
But it looks awesome.
It does look awesome. This is brought to you by the Wachowski brothers. You know, the Matrix guys.
The Matrix.
Yeah.
They know their stuff.
Rain, by the way, the star of this film, is a huge pop star in his native country of North Carolina. And he was also in Speed Racer, did a lot of the Chop Saki stuff in Speed Racer, which was awesome, and also the same guys. Here's a scene between Reiso and Takeshi. Hey!
I have another 3 minutes. Just let me know. Let me know if you're done or
don't give away too much of the plot.
I think we get the idea.
I think we do.
You're missing the point of the movie.
The stunts do look amazing, though.
This movie's they all stunts.
Yeah.
It's Ninja Assassin.
All right, so you get the idea.
Hi!
And that's the first part of the movie, and then...
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you Monday. So long.
So you pack up the kids and the nunchucks and the throwing stars in the minivan, and you go see Ninja Assassin this weekend.
This is a family thing.
Hey! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat and Movie Beat as well.
That too,
Tom Bien.
Thank you, Ralph. We are going to give away some tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009.
Hey!
Night number one. You're going to have to play a game. If you want to do it now, call now 1-800-520-1067.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie B.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How do we get talked into Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits again? Why is this back in the air?
Well, I got to tell you, popular demand.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just email and people calling the station and they go, oh, you guys haven't done that in a long time. You should do it. And Facebook and Twitter. The Twitter world is going crazy
really?
Over this. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Here's the deal. We have tickets for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show. It is, of course, sold out Saturday, December 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater. We're talking about AFI, Rise Against, Alice in Chains, 30 Seconds to Mars, 3 Days, Grace, Dead by Sunrise, Anne Berlin. You can win tickets, 1-800-520-1067. If you can, well, endure Kevin and Bean, whistle the hits.
Kevin and Bean, whistling the hits. Can you figure out what the hell it is?
Trust me, you won't.
Kevin and Bean.
The Big Five.
Whistle in the Hits. Can you figure out what the hell it is?
If you think this was awful, wait till you hear him whistle.
Don't do this.
What?
Don't do this.
I thought you liked this, Ralph. I thought you were a fan of Kevin and Whistle Dance.
Don't give away the tickets?
No, don't do this.
Don't do what?
This whistle thing.
Oh.
It's horrible. First of all, Kevin, you can't whistle.
I can't at all. That's accurate.
Let's not do this.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
I'll tell you what.
Let's pull back.
Give it up if we give up on the Butterball Turkey Hotline. That's my deal.
Never, sir!
All right, then step out.
How dare you?
Let's meet contestant number one. This is going to be Martin. He is on line one. Hey, Martin. We're apologizing in advance for what you were about to hear. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Okay. Now, here's the deal. Kevin and Bean are going to attempt to whistle the hits, and all you have to do is identify. Now, how does this work, Kevin? It's a title and artist, right, is what we're looking for.
We need the
song that we whistle.
Okay. A band and the song title.
And the hint is it's going to be a band and a song that will be performed on night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Show, December 12th. Okay, so that kind of narrows it down to just a few bands. And if you're right, you go into the drawing, and someone will win tickets. Are you ready?
Cool. Sounds good.
All right. I think you've
haven't heard it yet.
You've got me here as your player here, so let's see how this goes.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
By the way.
What do you think? You got a clue what that song might be?
One of the bands.
AFI, Medicaid?
Yes.
Yeah! Yeah!
Was that a guess?
It was.
Nice. Yeah. It was a good one.
Look, nice. I know I was bad, but well done. Congratulations. You are in the drawing. Let's try contestant number two. This is going to be Matt. Matt is on line four, and he is going to have Kevin as his partner. Hi, Matt. Welcome to Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits.
Hey, thanks.
I don't whistle as well.
Yeah,
clearly. So sorry about what's about to happen. Here we go. Me, 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 me. That was pretty good for me.
I think that sounded a lot like the song, yeah. Matt. What do you think there, Matt? One of the bands playing night one, one of the songs they'll be doing.
If you don't know, just guess one of the...
30 Seconds to Mars. Uh-huh.
Sorry, no. That was... Yeah.
Dead by Sunrise, Crawl Back In is what we're looking for. Okay, nice try. So far, just one in the running. Let's try Hiroshi. Hiroshi is on line five. Hi, Hiroshi. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Yeah. You going to go see that Ninja Assassin this weekend?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right, here we go. Listen up.
Okay.
All right, good for you. All right, here we go. This is a tough one. I'll do the best I can. It's Kevin to be whistled here.
I'd like to hear some more of the I'm going to Canada story.
All right.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Amberlynn? I have no idea.
Sorry, that is not correct. They come to
snuff the rooster. I was going for Alice in Chains. Did it not? Could you guys tell what it was I was doing?
Well, yes, but I have the list in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to tell.
So it's really, I wouldn't blame him for not getting it.
All right, let's try one more contestant each, shall we? How about Kevin for Kevin on line six as Kevin Amin Whistle the Hits trying to give away some tickets for night number one. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't push the right button. There. Kevin, hi.
Good morning, guys.
Are you ready for the song?
I guess.
All right. I'm going to try my best. Me, 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 me.
That doesn't count.
Me, me, me.
Okay.
Come on.
Pretty good.
I can tell what that was.
Pretty good.
What do you think, Kevin?
Rise Again, Savior.
Oh!
So close. It was Rise Against Ready to Fall. Nice try,
Wow.
So close.
Wow. Right. Sorry, dude.
Mercifully for you, the listener, just one more. It's going to be John. He's on line seven. Hey, John, you're our final contestant for Kevin Amin Whistle the Hits. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
By the way, I feel like we're rocking this. It's for the record.
How many people have qualified so far? Just one, though,
just
right?
Just one.
Just the first one on yours.
So Martin wins unless John can come up with this one and make it a drawing. Here we go. One of the bands, one of the songs that's going to be on night number one, and it goes, I hope, something like this.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You have any guests, John?
3 Days Grace.
Mm.
Well, I was hoping for Girls Not Gray by AFI there.
That was pretty good.
But the good news is our man Martin came through. He's the one who came up with Medicaid. Martin, congratulations. You've won. You're going to see AFI and all the bands on night one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Show.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, so much.
Nicely done. Thanks for playing Whistle the Hits.
Kevin and me. Whistle in the hits.
Thanks a lot for playing. That was bad, right?
Petros Papadakis comes in to talk all things sports on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Francisquito.
Yes.
Just a great word. Francisquito.
Okay.
Used to be my old radio name.
Are you high?
Francisquito. Rob Kardashian.
Glendale.
When he's not busy being punched in the face by people at his charity event.
He's
apparently
right.
Got a new girlfriend. According to TMZ.com, Rob is dating Lisa Ann.
Oh, yes.
Who is an adult film star you may know best in her role as Sarah Palin in the classic Who's Nailin' Palin?
Oh, that was her. How about that?
That was her. Apparently, it is a cougar and a cougar's prey relationship. What do cougars eat? Bunnies? What do cougars eat? Pheasant?
Armenians. Younger men?
Armenians. It's a cougar-Armenian relationship. Lisa Ann tells TMZ, Rob treats me like his little teacher, and we have a fun sexual relationship that is simple and carefree. He brings out the total cougar in me, and I just like to teach him things. Come on!
Yeah.
Like that!
Yeah.
That's what she teaches him.
And who else is in that photo? Is it another teacher?
Yeah, that's Lisa Ann enjoying her work right there, that photo. Anyway, good on you, Rob Kardashian. I don't know much about you, but my esteem for you has risen, sir, considerably.
He's the brother in the Kardashian sister family?
He is the Kardashian brother.
Gotcha.
If he was another sister named Rob, that would be odd for everyone involved.
No, I didn't know if he was actually their brother or if he was another family member. That's a
he is
cousin or something.
The brother, who they're quite protective of.
Is that right?
The Kardashian girls, yeah. I think he's the little brother, so... But anyway, that's what he's up to these days.
All right.
He's nailing Palin.
Too bad his father didn't live long enough to see that relationship. He would have been very proud.
Dad would have been high-fiving him left and right. Speaking of adults and what entertains them, Hugh Hefner has made a mint out of his playmates not only being sexy and naked, but a pretty squeaky clean image for playmates known as pretty much as the girls next door.
That's true.
Hence the name of the show over there on E! However, there's a young lady named Michelle Braun who may be pulling back the curtain on the real lives of playmates. The New York Post says she is writing a book about how she ran a dating service for playmates.
Oh,
and when I say dating service, I mean escort service.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Hookers.
Yeah.
All right now.
They're
expanding, that's all.
This is a service, well, apparently it's been going on for years,
okay,
where these playmates would parlay their playmate-itude into high-paying call girl positions.
Oh.
So at some point, a guy could pick up the phone and say, yeah, I'd like Miss August tonight.
Exactly.
And they would make it happen.
And you know how much it would cost you for the night?
How much?
No.
It wasn't uncommon, according to Michelle, for callers to pay around $10,000 for a playmate for the night.
For one night?
You want a centerfold? It'll cost you around 10 grand, sir.
Wow.
So as you can imagine, the clientele was mostly professional athletes, Fortune 500 CEOs, and even royalty.
Royalty?
Yeah. Hmm. You know, kings and princes and junk.
Yeah.
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 What's confusing about the royalty angle?
Well, I thought they would, it
like
would be
Saudi
the United
princes,
States.
Princes, probably.
They go into Europe and stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They travel.
Right.
10 grand? Apparently, she said a few of the couples even made it to the altar. So, like, some Fortune 500 dude is, paying 10 grand for a playmate. They hit it off, and she decides she wants to make a permanent situation out of it, and
how about that?
He ends up paying a lot more than 10 grand.
Yeah.
So then, in the long run.
Yeah, that's true.
So, interesting story. I'd read that book.
Sure.
Bunny for hire.
Sure.
Bunnies for hire.
I know Hef came out and said that he, you know, fired girls from the mansion when it was revealed that they were involved in this. He was not going to stand for that happening on his watch. He said they're bad girls.
Yeah.
They're very bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They need a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't sleep with him, they're bad girls, apparently.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Game show host Ben Stein. Remember him from Win Jimmy Kimmel's Money?
Sure.
Remember that show?
Yes.
I used to love that show. He is 65 years old today. John Larroquette, very talented actor, is 62. Amy Grant, remember her? She started out as being sort of like a religious singer, and
yes,
then she went on to country and western and whatnot.
Ralph, this probably won't surprise you, but Bean at one time did have a full-size Amy Grant stand-up, cardboard stand-up, in his apartment.
I do love her.
Full size.
She's one of my favorites, yeah.
What you talk about, Willis?
You heard me.
Was there a hole strategically placed in that cardboard stand-up?
No, nothing like it. It was very pure and chaste, just like Amy. And, of course, she's been very successfully married to country star Vince Gill for a number of years now.
Of course.
Of course. Who doesn't know that?
Thanks for adding that to the story.
Speaking of country stars, I was watching the game on Sunday night.
Yeah. Football?
Football game. That Faith Hill, who does that intro number at the beginning of that show.
Pretty hot.
Good deal.
Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of music, Tim Armstrong of Rancid celebrates his 44th birthday today. Christina Applegate is 38. Speaking of football, professional NFL quarterback Donovan McNabb celebrates his 33rd birthday.
Yay.
Oh, who else is 33? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. Coincidence? I don't think so. And Katie Cassidy of Melrose Place, who I think dug me a little bit when she came in and did the show a couple weeks ago.
You know, I didn't get that vibe.
Digging. She was digging.
I didn't get that
all
vibe.
All I'm saying, digging.
I got the vibe that she was digging me more, but...
Nope.
I didn't think she liked either of you.
Easy, really? Callie.
I think she only had a conversation with me.
Oh.
Really.
About the fermented ass juice that you both drank?
Well, there was that. there was a lot of that.
You did bond over ass juice.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving on the Kevin and Bean Show. I am honored that our next guest, Petros Papadakis, even agreed to come in, especially following Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. I mean, it takes a big man to go on that program.
You know, I can't whistle either. I can only whistle blowing inward. Like breathing in, inhaling is the only way I can whistle. I cannot whistle exhaling. Look at you and I, Lisa.
Me too.
You and I handle the greatest traffic person in the history of the freeway.
Yes.
And me, the fattest, lispiest sports talk radio host of all time.
We're the same.
Yeah, see?
That's it. Just in. No out. Huh.
What do you want me to whistle? I'll give it a shot.
Actually,
what do you want me to do? You want me to whistle that song
whistling.
You guys just played?
We've done enough whistling for today.
Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charm Kind of Life.
let's
move
something
on.
Else. No, that's not whistling. My bad. I got excited. I started singing Third Eye Blind. Yeah. What's cracking, guys? What are you doing there? I'm waking up. Everything's great. All is well.
I wanted to ask you about this because I don't think we even talked about it on the air, but we were talking off the air about the Clippers announcer who was fired for making some comments about an Iranian player.
No one got fired.
Not fired.
No one got fired.
Suspended.
The two Clipper announcers who are both fantastic guys who I've known for a long time, Ralph Lawler of Lawler's Law of Bingo, and he also says, oh me, oh my, and he also says, buckle your safety belts. Ralph Lawler and Mike Smith, the Mormon gentleman, were suspended because they had a relatively inappropriate conversation regarding an Iranian player.
Right.
An Iranian player, I believe, for the Memphis Grizzlies.
But they said he was from Iran.
They said Iran, and they said, well, Sacha Baron Cohen could play him in a movie. But actually, it wasn't Ralph that said that. It was Mike that said that. And they got suspended for a game.
I got to tell you, I read those comments, and I thought, what's the...
The other thing is there was one email sent by one irate Iranian fan who wasn't even that mad. And they ended up getting suspended. The real bummer was
let me just say this.
Killed Ralph's streak. I mean, Ralph had a streak of like 25 years or something like that.
He never missed a game, right?
Yeah, and they just killed his streak. They should have just made him apologize or something like that.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up is because you are a radio and television broadcaster for sports. And, I mean, is that what it's like? Is you have to worry every second of every minute of offending one person?
On our radio show, Matt and I, we're not much. Unlike, Matt learned to do radio here. So,
right.
We're not much unlike, you guys, you know, we get crazy, we say things, we go pretty hard, you know, unless it's a story that needs to be treated sensitively. And, you know, we try not to go too hard on race and stuff like that because it's a sports talk radio show. But when I call games, yeah, I mean, I don't mess around. When you call a game, it's not about you, though, so it's okay to be that way. People right. say, oh, I don't recognize you
right.
when you call games. You sound like such a stiff because I'm saying things right. like, well, you know, he's really giving a big cushion on that slant route, and it's going to get underneath there. And, you know, I mean, I talk like that.
But that's
I mean,
what you're supposed to do.
That's yeah. my job when yeah. I do the games, and it's not about me
your,
and my
job
dumbass
isn't
personality.
To do, look at that monkey run. Yeah, that's what my, you're not supposed
yes,
to be doing.
Yeah, thank you, Bean. Yes, yeah, nice. My job is not to do that.
Can I just say one thing? I just want to say that... I just
it's
say
about
that,
the guys playing the game.
I just want to say that any company on this planet that would suspend somebody over one complaint is a bad company.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yep.
That's all.
Hey,
I get a lot
Kevin?
Of complaints. You know, I get a lot of complaints on the radio that I'm too loud, and I don't
well,
know where those
way,
would come
those
from.
Those complaints are true.
Well, some of those are from Kevin
thanks
and
for,
me.
Thank
by
you
way.
For your support.
Just turn it down.
Well, here's thank the, you. Yeah, turn it down, dumbass.
Here's the good
right?
thing.
That's what I say.
There's a volume control.
You don't even have to have it on. And you can still hear pee. I mean, really, he
thank
comes
you.
Through.
I
hear,
thank you for
I hear
your
Petros
support.
In my,
no,
in my
I appreciate that.
Sometimes
I appreciate that. God bless you guys. Thanks a lot. You know, it's not that I wake up and sprint here at 5 a.m. to come be on the show.
Which
I should pay you to be on.
Which,
I love you guys. You guys are awesome, and I can't wait to judge Miss Double December.
Yeah, you're gonna be one of the
judges. Yeah,
that's your reward.
Oh, am I gonna have an erection? Man, am I looking forward to that.
I was looking forward to it, too, right until 5 seconds ago.
Hey, you're going to come sit on my lap right in the
side.
Middle of the show. You're going to come sit on my lap,
I don't
Kevin.
See that happening.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
No.
Petros
I'm going to have tassels on my boobs.
Petros is referring to the live Kevin and Bean broadcast, which is going to be a week from
slide
Friday
bar,
at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Where
what?
Miss Double
what?
December 2010 is going to be crowned, and P is going to be down there, and he'll help us with the broadcast and be one of the judges.
When I say slide, you say bar. Slide.
Bar.
Slide.
Bar.
When I say slide, you say bar. Slide.
Bar.
Slide.
Bar.
When I say giant, you say boobs. Giant.
Okay.
Come on.
Save some of it for the broadcast.
Come on, guys.
All right, let's talk about a little bit of sports. This, to
sports?
Me, has been...
I heard you making fun of my lisp earlier, and you know, that hurts.
Bean.
It's a real dagger in my soul, Bean.
It's also quite accurate. This,
oh,
to me,
man.
Seems like it has been one of the
I'm
most
kick his wrinkly balls when I see him on the slide bar, man.
You should.
One
Go
ahead,
of the
Bean,
most
sorry.
Entertaining NFL seasons of all time. Every weekend.
You think so?
Every season
is like this, Bean.
But every weekend there has been two, you know, a couple of games that have just been unbelievably entertaining.
Whatever, you NFL dork. It's the same way every single year.
I don't think so.
The margin of victory in the NFL is wafer thin, okay? Everybody can beat anybody on any weekend because I got news for you. They got players and coaches, too.
Yeah.
Everybody's got really good players. Everybody's got really good coaches. The margin of victory is so slim out there. Everything comes down to a field goal. It's exciting. But to me, the
sure
NFL is just not as tribal as I need it to be. You know what I mean?
Not as tribal.
College football is tribal. You know, you got everybody that gets together for this one common cause. There's great tradition. There's all these wonderful rivalries going on in the next 3 weeks. And it's hard for me to concentrate on the NFL this time of year. It really is, because college football, when it comes down to it, is really so much fun this time of year. And it's regional and it's tribal and people get all freaked out and everybody's got a wacky looking mascot and a wacky band and some old, you know, some age old tradition that's politically incorrect, you know. But the NFL is so vanilla these days. You know what I mean?
So corporate.
Nobody even gets to wear a cool number anymore, you know? I want to see a tailback wearing a number 1, you know, or the number 8, you know? But if in the NFL, if you're a tailback, you got to wear something in the 20s, the 30s, or the 40s. That sucks, man. That sucks, dude. That's the, you know, that's taking away the freedom of the speech from the players, Bean, and it's wrong.
Not sure.
What do you like about the NFL, Bean? What's your team? The Seahawks? Because they suck.
No, they're horrible. But I'm not even talking about our games. Our games have been every one of them's been
a
blowout
suck.
And have sucked. But what I mean is, when you say there's you miss the you know the tradition and,
yes.
and all that, is it because you live in a city where you grew up in a city where you don't have a football team
well,
now that you can get excited about?
I
is
grew
that
up
what it
here. No, no, I don't think the NFL is very good for Los Angeles because I just don't think people in LA show up for the NFL. And they're talking about building this new stadium, and they want to build it in Walnut, and it's like. dude, that's not L.A. I mean, we love the Inland Empire people, but nobody from the West Side is going to get on the freaking 10 on a Sunday and drive their ass for 2 hours, because that's how long it would take with the traffic.
I would think you would.
You would take a helicopter.
Yeah, well,
you, because you're rich. But the rest of us would all have to drive in my Chevy Malibu down the 10, and it would suck ass. So I think they need to build a stadium a little closer if they're going to do it. And I think that, you know, there's so many transplants in this city. The city's doing fine without the NFL, and the NFL happens to be doing fine without the city of Los Angeles.
Now, but there are some of us that would like to have a team here,
You don't want to go. You just want to sit in your house and watch all the games on your DirecTV. That's what you want to do. You want to sit there in your boxer shorts and eat chili cheese Fritos and talk to all your friends about your fantasy football and flip the culture of it's changed.
The culture
of watching football has changed.
Yeah, it has. I used to go to the Raiders games all the time when they were here.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
And you didn't get shanked?
No, I dressed up and I had a shank.
Because that was...
You know what I mean? He's a shanker.
You got to be on the offensive.
I was a Ram fan. You know, I grew up a Ram fan. And, you know, part of it is that, though, Bean. You know, I've lived in the college football world for a long time. And I have friends that play in the NFL. To me, the NFL's just really sterile. Now, it's the best football in the world. I mean, the players are wonderful.
Highest quality.
Absolutely awesome. But the fact that they don't make a lot of mistakes makes the games kind of boring. College football is fun because you get 80, 90-yard runs. You have these big plays because the players make mistakes because they're stupid. And it's just more exciting for me in that way. But, yes, everybody loves the NFL.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, Petros is going to tell us about UCLA-USC.
Career milestone. I'm calling the game nationally. It's big for me.
There it is.
How about
that? Thank you, Psycho Mike, for being the one supporter that I, along with Lisa.
I'm sorry. I thought I was the one that brought it up.
Yeah, you're cool, too.
Okay, good.
But Bean.
Bean, no, we don't need Bean.
Making fun of my list.
No, I know. He's listening.
You know, it's not cool to make fun of my list.
I know.
You know, I have problems.
He's not sensitive. That's the problem. He doesn't know what people are
thinking. I can hear you guys. You know that, right? Minutes away from the annual Kevin and Bean tradition that is the call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Oh. Petros, have you ever heard us do that before?
No.
Good. I'm lucky.
I'm the farmer. Ralph is the turkey. I call the Butterball Turkey Hotline to try to get some help on
how does he
catch
do the turkey like this?
Yes. Yes, that's it.
I could
not
do it.
Not bad.
Where are you going right now? I want to come with you instead.
Where am I going? Yep. I'm going to the DMV. Right, seriously, we're going to go change my wife's name at the DMV. Then I'm going to go to Matt Money Smith's house and use his ISDN line to interview Pete Carroll.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go do Jim Rome is Burning on ESPN.
No, I don't need that much
detail. And then I'm going to drive back to the radio station in Burbank.
Fun. That's enough.
And
that's
then I'm going to go home.
I don't want to do all that.
Then
with
I'm going to probably interview Rick Neuheisel on the way home.
Right. Okay.
From the phone to find out some more about the game.
Really, I'm sorry.
You know, it's a long week, brother. Yeah. It's a crosstown showdown. SCUCLA. Yeah.
This is nationally syndicated sports talk show host Petros Papadakis in our studio today.
Highlights.
He is going to be calling on television nationwide what used to be referred to as the big game, and I'm sure it's never been referred to
as the big game. The big game is Berkeley-Stanford.
Right.
Do I have to teach you guys everything?
No. You know what I'm saying? The big game that students of USC and UCLA who don't care about football look forward to every year is the one where you play your cross-town rival.
Yes.
It doesn't mean quite what it used to.
Well,
what's going on with USC having lost 3 games this year? Who would have ever predicted that?
Well, it's not so much that they lost 3 games, and actually I predicted that in the summer. Thanks for listening.
Me too.
They were vulnerable. They were more vulnerable this year, but it's still a USC football team. It's not that they lost 3 games or 2 out of the last 3. It's how. USC got the curtain pulled off them up at Oregon a few weeks back, and then
that was a destruction.
And then the curtain was not only pulled off against Stanford in the Coliseum in a game that I called, but USC was in the parking lot naked of a motel, covering their privates, nipples and crotch with both hands, running, screaming in the night. I mean, it was that bad. I mean, it was really, really an ass whooping. And we always talk about me and being the captain of the worst football team in USC history and, you know, my legacy of failure. Hey, we never got beat like that. I mean, I'm serious, man. Those guys got their ass straight whooped. Now, I mean, I didn't even know what to say. You know, it's a national broadcast, so I'm not sitting here lamenting, you know, my alma mater losing like that. And I love Jim Harbaugh and the Stanford team and the players that they have. And I'm just sitting there dumbfounded, slack-jawed, like just in the Coliseum, like, how do I present this to the country? We've never seen anything like this. Pete Carroll never lost a game in November before that. And that's really the difference this year. That's why USC right now, and they're coming off a bye week after that loss, that's why USC right now is in uncharted territory emotionally. Because Pete Carroll's teams, sure, they were 6-6 in 2001, a bunch of guys that I played with, but they were still sliding upward in November.
At the right time.
They went on a winning streak in November. Now, this team is seemingly falling apart in the month of November. And UCLA, conversely, is quietly chipping away at their football program and bringing it back up with Rick Neuheisel and Norm Chow. And they're on a three-game win streak.
Are there any bowl bids riding on this game or no? Is it just
Both teams are bowl eligible.
They are.
So both teams will play in a bowl. But this game, just like Bean alluded to, is absolutely right. This game does not have – see how professional I sound?
Yeah,
now?
Well, I'm
yeah, that's
not
right,
used
baby.
To that.
I just flipped the switch, dog.
Yeah,
I can just do it. Whoa, what? All right. This game does not have the national championship or BCS championship implications it usually holds for USC, and it does not have Pac-10 championship implications either. However, it is a unbelievably great litmus test for how this rivalry is going to go between Rick Neuheisel and Pete Carroll in the coming years and in the recruiting wars and all the different things that go on in the city. It is going to be really something to see these two teams go at it, because there's a lot of bad blood, not just between the players, but between the coaching staffs. And it's really cool because they both wear their home uniforms in the game now, and that's going to be in the Coliseum. First time that's been done since like 1981. So it's going to look cool. It's a milestone for me in my career, because I've called every Pac-10 rivalry game nationally, you know, Oregon State, the Civil War, Arizona State, the old duel in the desert.
Arizona State, Arizona
game,
is this
Cal
weekend.
Stanford,
Washington
the Apple
State,
Cup.
Washington is this weekend.
All the rivalry week.
This is it.
And for a guy with a lisp, I can say that okay. And say it three times. Rivalry week.
And the game Petros is going to be calling is Saturday night at 7 o'clock.
So this is the first time I've ever done this game on national TV. And it's exciting. It's going to be fun. Barry Tompkins and Michael Eaves and me and Matt Money Smith, my dear friend and partner on the radio, is not doing a game this week. But he did wonderfully all year doing play-by-play on national radio.
Is that
he had a great year doing that.
Is that why he's not doing anything this week?
No.
He's hosting the
pre and post game. Yeah.
I've got one final question for you, Pete, and that is, why do you love Ray J as much as you do?
Dude.
Somebody read somebody's Twitter.
Don't get me going.
Right?
Is this based on the reality show?
Because,
Ray
J. You know what? When I do, look, I'm going to quote Mr. Bojangles, and I'm going to say,
great.
I drinks a bit. I do. I drinks a bit. You know, and sometimes I get home, you know, the old pee, you know, there's a couple whiskeys in my future.
Sure.
You know, that's usually I think about kissing my wife when I get home, and then I think about a tall glass of whiskey and ice. It looks like an iced tea, but it's not. It's just a giant whiskey.
And then.
I turn on the Ray J on the TiVo for the love
he has
of
a new
Ray
reality
J
show
on VH1.
Again this season.
Yeah. And I get on my Twitter, which is Petros and Money, no spaces, and I share it with Matt because we do everything together.
You do.
And I'm going to his house right after this.
Yeah, well, no.
And I just start quoting Ray J because Ray J says things that are unfathomably great. And he says, I'll just give you a couple examples.
Okay, please.
Like 1,000%. That's a quote. Okay? I mean, that's a quote. Like 1,000%?
Okay.
Or, I know I'm Ray J, but come on. it's just stuff like that. And he
I'm
says stuff
start
like,
watching this now.
We just gonna get it cracking. I mean, she looks so good. I mean, he says stuff like that. It just drives you wild. It just makes me so happy and so excited just to watch this guy. And then, you know, then he starts kissing these chicks with his tongue. I mean, it's just, and these girls are such whores. I mean, it's so wonderful.
I just can't believe that he's hot enough to have a reality show right now.
That's where my question comes in.
1,000% hot enough.
There's been a couple different reality shows based on guys who are semi-celebrities.
Yes.
He's farthest down on the celebrity scale.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You haven't heard the intro of For the Love of Ray J? I done made a lot of money, and I've been a platinum done selling artist. I done sold so many albums. I'm also an actor. I mean, he's wonderful.
Out of Flavor of Love, Rock of Love with Bret Michaels, and his...
Those are also great shows.
He has the hottest chicks. How does he pull them? They're all bad girls. These are bad girls.
Did you see the sex tape?
Yes. Yeah, he kills it. Yeah. He kills it.
Because that's a long story. Okay.
Yeah. He busts the guts.
A lot of people saw
that.
Glendale! Is that where he did it? Oh, no, she's Armenian.
That's kind of where he did it.
Oh, that succubus Kim Kardashian and her succubus sister is going to wreck the Lakers for Kevin. The Lakers.
Don't say that.
Yoko.
Don't say that.
Doesn't seem to be hurting him so far.
Don't say
you
that.
You watch. Don't. Oh, she's corrosive like acid.
Don't say that.
All right. Saturday night, don't miss Petros call on USC, UCLA, and don't miss his nationally syndicated show with Matt Money Smith all across these great United States. P, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We love you, man. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving. You know I'm Ray J, but Come on.
It looks pretty late. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 744.
She's going to say, is someone taking my temperature? That's what she's going to say.
I heard that.
Wow. That's what she's going to say.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show the day before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
I think we have
turkey
left.
Things are gonna happen.
Oh, man, look at the clock.
Wow, it's late.
Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
Now, you weren't here yesterday, Ralph, but I'm telling you that Kevin threw a tantrum like a two-year-old when he realized that today was the day we're going to be calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline, as we do and as the kids insist on every year because it's a holiday tradition.
And came dangerously close to getting my way.
Does it have a granola bar for the head of this tantrum?
No, that's just normal Kent talk.
So we took a Kevin and Bean scientific survey, meaning we took the first five callers on the line and asked them, should we continue the tradition and call the Butterball Turkey Hotline? And 3-2, they said yes. So it had
just like
the turkey that President Obama is going to be sparing today by pardoning. Apparently, we live to make this call one more time, one more year.
Just edged out.
Mm-hmm. This is always good because Ralph's acts like he's a turkey.
Listen.
Bean acts like he's a farmer.
Listen up.
And he needs help catch it. We call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. And then,
do you always like having dinner with your family every year? No. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes Uncle Phil gets drunk and touches you inappropriately. But you know what? It's tradition. You do it every year because it's family. And that's what families do.
I don't have an Uncle Phil or Tom or whatever.
You're missing the point of my story.
You'll do it and you'll like it, Kevin. That's what we're saying.
Bean plays the farmer.
Yes!
He's not good.
Listen, the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Okay, places.
Butterball Turkey Talkline, how can I help you?
Oh, my God, I'm so glad you answered. I have trouble with my turkey. Is this the right number to call?
Yeah, who's calling?
My name is John, and I can't catch my turkey. I'm trying to prepare for Thanksgiving dinner, but I can't get a hold of the turkey, and I don't know how to catch the thing. It's way faster than I thought it would be.
Well, you know, most people that roast turkeys are really lucky. The turkeys that are in the turkey bins at the grocery store, they're pretty slow.
I wish I would have thought of that, but I thought it would be fresher if I would catch my own turkey and cook it right here. But unfortunately, I can't get a hold of it. What's the best way to grab a turkey?
Well, I think you better train so that next year you can outrun it.
Okay, but tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be very hungry if I can't get a hold of this bird, but it's so fast. I try to grab it by the neck, by the leg, by the feathers. It keeps getting away from me.
Did you try to say, Tom, come here? Maybe he knows his name, and then he'll come right to you.
Tom, come here. Turkey, it's not working. I don't know what to do. How do I catch this thing? Help!
I think that, you know, maybe you're going to have to go to the neighbors and have turkey with them. You know, you could come to my house if you'd like. I'm having a friendship feast, and that means I'm providing the turkey, the stuffing, the gravy, and the dining room table. So if you can bring a dish to pass, you're welcome to my house.
The Butterball Turkey Hotline people are the nicest people in the world. Who knew? I'm coming to your house.
Well, great, John.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm so going to nail her. I'm so going to nail her. She will be mine.
What? And we get a warm holiday feeling at the end of that call, too. Not only was it hilarious.
Yeah, we were lucky.
It was touching and meaningful.
We were lucky because she's stupid enough to actually invite strangers to her
house.
That
was like a Hallmark movie.
That was a beautiful thing.
But if you wrote that movie, you go, no one would ever do that.
I feel like I'm watching Lifetime. Valerie Bertinelli should be starring in this phone call.
So Bean's going over to your house, and then he's saying, make things happen.
And there's a happy ending for everyone.
Got another year reprieve.
Warm and fuzzy.
Good.
Free day on the world. On the world famous K-Rock, 106.7, KROQ at 756.
AC/DC.
We got some Weezer coming up, also 30 Seconds to Mars, and how about flashback music from Oasis, all straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our friend Adam Carolla, because even though it's Wednesday, it feels like a Friday. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening, Ralph?
Get down!
And then we'll tell you about 100-proof turkey.
Really?
100-proof.
Wow.
You get smashed eating turkey.
And then just stuff it with granola bars and have a perfect meal for Kevin. Victoria Beckham.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Half of the legendary Becks. Big time showbiz couple. She, of course, one of the Spice Girls. He is, of course, used to play soccer.
Still does.
Occasionally. Occasionally he still gets out in the field, kicks the ball around.
He plays.
She has been called by a newspaper in London the most unhealthy role model for women in the last 50 years.
Wow, 50 years.
Yes, that's significant.
That's saying something. Just because she's too skinny?
Yeah, a personal trainer who wrote the article said she takes calorie restriction to new extremes.
All right.
And too much exercise and too few foods have given her a lack of nutrients that have led her to that stick-thin figure.
Yeah, she could eat.
She looks like she eats about 500 calories a day.
Yeah. A week. Maybe.
She could eat. They're right. She's not less attractive because she's so skinny.
I saw her eating. They have photos of her just digging into a grape. She was
really?
Carving it for Thanksgiving. Right. I think that's what she has at her house.
Just one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But not the whole thing?
But she was hardly eating it.
Yeah.
She used one of those electric knives.
Yeah, she was using an electric carving knife. By the way, her husband, David Beckham, just came out this week asthmatic. He has asthma.
Really?
How tough is that to be a soccer player running up on the field with asthma?
Here's all I know is that they played in the championship game on Sunday night, and they showed him on the sideline with one of those
inhalers. Oh.
And I was like, how? Yeah. How do you hide that?
That's what led him to the big win. I think it was that inhaler. He took the inhaler and he got in there and he came back and the big win.
They didn't really win, but it was close. Shootout. It was.
He's a total Gaylord.
Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake are back together again, if you believe OK Magazine. But there are some new rules that Justin laid down. One of the new rules is she is not allowed to bring up the subject of marriage under any circumstances.
Right on.
Right, JT.
Apparently, he is not ready for wedded bliss. And so he said, if you want to be with me, you cannot pressure me in any way, cannot bring it up. There's no discussion about it. Don't want to hear from you about marriage.
Didn't he also make a deal recently that he could date other people?
Apparently, yeah. That was a part of the deal as well.
He's the man.
I think she needs to move on.
Hey, you.
I really do.
Hey.
This isn't going
to work. Pipe down, Callie.
It depends on what she wants in her life.
I'm guaranteeing you this is not what she wants.
But it's what he wants.
People.
Listen, we need to start establishing these rules.
That's fine. He can have what he wants.
Yes.
I think she needs to move on.
No. 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 No.
Airtight seal.
Congratulations to Donny Osmond.
Why?
First time anyone said that
Donny
in 30
Osmond.
Years. He's got the mirror ball, people.
What does that mean?
He's got the mirror ball.
Like the disco ball?
What does that mean?
That is the championship trophy for Dancing with the Stars, my friend.
Oh,
they give you a mirror ball.
You win the mirror ball. It's a big trophy of a mirror ball.
That's dumb. I don't watch that show.
He was the big winner. Maya came in second, apparently followed by Kelly Osbourne. But Donnie walked away with the mirror ball.
I didn't watch 1 minute of this season again this year, Ralph, but I seem to remember at the beginning you said that Donny Osmond and Maya were picked to be 1 and 2. I mean, those were the favorites from the very beginning of the show.
Yes, and look how it came down, neck and neck.
Well, it makes sense. They're both, you know, professional dancers in essence, right? I mean, he's got a stage show that he does every night, and she's an R&B singer.
He's got magic underwear.
That's true.
Which is sort of an unfair advantage.
They didn't take those away from him during the competition?
He got to wear his magic underwear.
Wow.
So Jesus came down and helped him dance. And I love these kind of stories. This James Cameron, this much-anticipated 3D, high-def CGI...
Avatar.
WTF movie, Avatar.
Looks great.
There's no way this movie's not going to be a disappointment, though, right?
Well...
No way.
Probably not, only because when you get your hopes that high...
That's what I'm saying.
It's almost impossible to live.
We've been hearing about this movie for 2 years.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to be.
But it's going to be good.
There is a tribe. You see the balloon aliens, right, in the movie? The blue aliens who live on a planet called Pandora. Mm-hmm. So they're a tribe who live on this planet. And so James Cameron hired a dude to invent a fictional language for that tribe who lives on that planet.
Okay.
He spent the past 4 years... developing an entire language of more than 1,000 words. Has its own syntax, a sound landscape, he says, that includes ejectives, which is...
Awesome.
So you can actually learn this language and speak it.
if you want to. His name's Paul Frommer. He works for USC. He's a linguistics professor, and he has invented his own language.
Okay.
Where really? Do we need that? Is that necessary?
No.
People who learned Klingon will probably learn that language.
Lisa, he says that he hopes someday the Na'vi language, as it's called, will become the next Klingon, and that someone will translate Klingon into Na'vi and back and forth.
Wow.
You, sir, are the largest nerd in the world.
Wow.
Ralph, didn't your friend William Shatner once film a movie in Esperanto,
which is another
one of those kind of made-up languages?
Invented language.
Yeah.
I just wish, Paul Frommer says to the LA Times, that I had someone to talk to in the language. Because no one else knows it.
He made it up.
Kevin, but he has no one to talk to in Na'vi.
Right, but does he speak
Na'vi.
English as well?
Apparently he does.
Okay, well, so talk English to other people.
But he wishes he had little blue friends he could talk to on the planet Pandora.
He's a dumbass.
How dare you, sir.
Do you guys remember when we had the great James Cameron on our show and Kevin talked to him about this fictional language in the Avatar movie?
I think I remember that interview,
I got the clip.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
There you go.
Kevin, the interview killer.
I didn't mean it to sound like that. That was a mistake.
That's pretty interesting.
That is what it sounded
like. Is this interview over yet?
That isn't what I meant at all.
Kevin could not have more of an asshole of James Cameron 30 seconds into that conversation.
And that was before he knew about the made-up language.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Katie Cassidy from Melrose Place.
Oh.
Slice me off some of that for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? With extra gravy.
Yep.
But don't invite Lisa to that meal.
No.
That's fine. I'll be someplace else.
That
you guys
turkey
enjoy.
Just looks okay to me.
It's a pretty turkey.
It's delicious. On every level.
It's an amazing turkey.
It's the most
delicious. Are you kidding? Juiciest, most golden brown turkey you've ever had.
It's top five turkeys.
It could go back in the oven for 10.
Oh man. You should go in an oven.
You are.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
That's true. I agree.
Katie's 23 years old today. Christina Applegate is 38. Jill Hennessy celebrates her 40th birthday. John Larroquette is 62 years old today. He, of course, from Night Court and then Boston Legal. Mm-hmm. And apparently he is on stage here in Southern California.
Oh, no kidding.
In The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, that stage show. He's doing that right now. He's 62 years old today. And quarterback for the NFL team that is located in a place I can't talk about. Donovan McNabb celebrates his 33rd birthday, so I want to wish D-Mac the best.
Can we steer away from gay people?
Hey! It's five you're talking about. We will throw down. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, get it on is what I have to say to you as our friend Adam Carolla from AdamCarolla.com has joined us. I didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's podcast with our friend Seth Green, but I understand that you guys talked about how awesome Get It On songs were from the 1970s, Adam.
Well, I mean, it used to be when you signed your contract at the record label, there was a stipulation. I mean, I think they gave you a choice. They gave you a choice between writing a Get It On song or a song about blowing through town, loving a woman, and then splitting, but with the caveat of don't worry, I may be back sometime to sex you down again.
Okay.
So you can just stand by the window.
So just know that's coming.
Press your nose against the window, wait for me to come back like the Old Spice Man. This time next year, if the band's making another lap. Oh, and this one too. Hide your daughters. Because we're going to rock them, then we're going to love them, then back on the road again. By the way, if that was in fact your plan as a band, would you play it a little closer to the vest?
You don't need to, though.
But see, my thing is I would write a song that says, I'm going to come to town, do a little charity work, then maybe I'm going to take a jog in the park. But instead, I would rock and love your women.
Right.
I wouldn't warn you. Hide your women. I'm coming to town to love them.
But it's much stronger to me that the guys, they're going, look, I'm giving everyone fair warning. I'm coming to town, and I'm going to rock your women.
But think about all the hot...
And then they still do it.
But what about all the hot chicks that have been hidden away in root cellars, like they're hiding from the Nazis in World War II? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm
saying, if I give you a heads up, I'm coming to town to love your women down.
Right.
You may stash some of them away.
Oh, I see. Hide them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very bold. Very bold.
Yeah, you don't want that. Now, yeah.
I haven't thought this through as much as you have.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm coming to town. I may take a nap. You know, that's my song. But when I come to town, I'm really going to love you and rock you, by the way.
Here's the problem is if you do a song called I'm Coming to Town, I'm going to Take a Nap, no one will listen to it.
Well, what?
So then when you try to rock the women, there won't be any women there because they won't care because you did a song about naps.
Wow, my head's going to explode, man.
All right, let me ask you one more question and you could get onto your topic at hand, Ace. And that is, have you seen a million faces and you've rocked them all? Is that also true?
I've seen a million cots and I've napped them all. Yeah, see, that's not bad.
It is
okay.
Bad.
Because I'm a sleep boy on a Serta I ride. Yeah, something like that. You know, I'm just riffing. Waterbed I ride. You know, whatever. Sure. Work it out.
Yeah, you're not getting chicks that way.
I love it. Sorry.
I got that crap that sort of shows up in your eyeballs and it's not quite snot, but you don't know what it is, but you're still embarrassed to see people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
All right. Yeah. All right. I want to, of course, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, so I want to give my cranberry recipe.
Oh, this has been a pet peeve of yours since the first day.
Oh, you don't like canned?
No. I know. I don't. Do you?
I don't like it.
Good.
Anyway.
Good. A lot of defenders of the can around Thanksgiving.
It's worse than that. He has what we've described with Omar as cartoon hate.
Oh, really?
It's not even possible for a human being to hate something this much.
Well,
but
the notion of somebody slaving away for 9 hours in the kitchen and then at the very end, the crescendo, like a 9-hour Sting-esque lovemaking session, and at the very end you hear, "Where's the can opener, honey?" It's just not right.
Yeah.
And the stuff comes out.
What confuses us, though, is I think that most people don't get much of a difference between the canned cranberry and the stuff that's homemade. I mean, one may be a little bit better than the other, but I don't think it bothers most people, that drop in quality.
How much can you care about that?
It's symbolic.
It's symbolic.
Mama don't love me. She's going for the can opener. But next time I'm in town, I'm going to love... Wait a minute. The point is this. It is better. It's better for a few reasons. It's warm. And cranberry sauce, it shouldn't be chilled. It should be just a little bit warm. It is fresh. The fresh stuff does taste better. But again, just the symbolism of going for the can opener on the holiest of holy food eating days.
If you're just tuning in, we have the Ace of Cakes here.
And not only that, I know another quick just a heads up and a tidbit. First, the recipe.
Recipe.
Easy as can be. And this is the real shame. People are intimidated by the cran. You should not be intimidated by the cran. Just get a sack of cranberries, put them in a pot, cup of water, half cup of sugar or so, sweeten to taste, and boil it, put a lid on it, done. I mean, literally 4 minutes. There's nothing to it. Anyone can do it. And then just put off the side of the stove. It starts to cool down. It's done. That's it. You want to put a little lemon zest? Fine. If not, so be it. Don't get nuts with the raisins. Everyone put the raisins away, by the way.
Take it easy with the raisins.
I feel like a cop that just says, set the raisin box down, ma'am, and walk away. I don't want them in the stuffing. I don't want them in the cranberries. I don't care.
What if they like them?
Get them out. But you'll be the only one of your 22 guests who enjoy the raisins and the stuffing. And get away from the raisins.
Okay.
They never helped anything.
No.
Stand back. All right. And last one, the pie.
The pie.
Now, my wife had to remind me I was an a-hole for chastising someone who brought over a cherry pie to my house the other day from John's or Vaughn's or Ralph's or, you know, just a store-bought pie.
What would you yell at him for?
Because I'll tell you, the difference between the Marie Callender's or the Dupar's pie and the one you get at Ralph's is about a dollar. I mean, the one at Ralph's is, you know, $6, $7, whatever it is, and the one over at Marie Callender's $8. It's a dollar difference, yet the one at Dupar's or Marie Callender's is vastly superior to the store-bought one. I don't know what it is, but the ones the big chain stores do, they just don't do them right. They taste like chemicals. They're kind of weird. They're not right.
They've been packaged since last year.
Right.
Probably. So.
Right. And they came over on a slow boat from China somewhere, and nobody wants them. I'm just saying, if you're not going to bake your own pie, swing by a place that does it for a living. Don't go to a place where you can buy a 30-gallon jug of Tide, and a pie. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
How cheap do you have to be? And like I said, they're the same price, essentially. Pay the extra 80 cents. Let the pros do it right. Head over to Dupar's or Marie Callender's. All right, that's my pie. And, by the way, don't start experimenting with the pie. You stick with the pumpkin pie, you can do a little pecan. Don't get weird. Don't start getting weird.
Chocolate cream?
stay away from that.
Why? That's awesome.
That's a sacrilege to the pilgrimage.
That's awesome.
No.
How dare you?
To the pig. To the pill. Greg, bitch. And I had somebody bring a pineapple pie over to my house right here. Like, are you insane? What, are you nuts?
That's not even America.
What island are you from, you a-hole?
Did you throw him back out?
Yes.
Nice work.
Threw him in the same, and actually threw them both in the what I call the hole with the guy who brought the store-bought cherry pie in there. Pumpkin or pecan? Thank you.
Carolla is here, AdamCarolla.com, for all of his mini podcasts. Today's a special double podcast day on the site, by the way, and don't miss the CarCast one as well. We'll take a quick break. The Week in Rage with the Ace Man when we return right after this. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I want to thank Psycho Mike for not making any gross noises while Jared Leto was singing on the radio right there. I appreciated that for a change. Give us a little bit of a break. Yeah. Coming up, we'll tell you about a new alcoholic-based turkey. You get drunk eating turkey at Thanksgiving this year. It's a new invention for 2009. We'll tell you about that coming up in a couple of minutes. It is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, although it feels like a Friday, and that's why our friend Adam Carolla from AdamCarolla.com is here with The Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Start with number three, going down to number one. Caught the replay of the Cotto Manny Pacquiao fight.
Right.
And I turned on just the very end of the fight where they did final punch stat numbers, and Cotto was a very beaten fighter. But yet, the picture over the final punch stat numbers where they do the, you know, Cotto versus Pacquiao, it's the picture from before the fight. So they both look very determined, and they both look very tough, and Cotto's got his game face on. It's clean as a whistle, but he's got that, you don't want some of this, although he just got some of this, and his dad, like, throwing the towel in the 11th round. All I'm saying is this, HBO or anyone else who's running a fight, take two pictures. Take the before picture, Cotto versus, you know, Pacquiao, and everyone's looking tough, and everyone's looking mean, and then take a second picture in case you lose where you go, what do you want from me? You know what I mean?
Just you're saying take two pictures before the fight.
Before the fight.
So in case you lose, this is your loser.
Hey, I tried. What do you want from me? Hey, you know my face should be? You get in here and see what you can do against this animal, okay? What do you want? Or shrugging or pouting or tears or something.
Is it that hard to take a picture after the fight, actually, to just do it that way?
That should be more incentive for the fighter. Show the one guy's mean, clean face and the other guy's pummeled hamburger face.
Yes, the hamburger face.
I still would like the pouty, crying, what do you want from me face.
Sure.
Just during the photo session, you do the give me the one, and now give me the what do you want from me face, and we'll even do a draw face. We just sit there with a blank expression, you know, like, I don't know.
What are you going to do?
I'm not a judge. What are you going to do? Don't take the three shots and put the one up, because I don't like the one guy making the mean face after he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes sense. Two pictures. That's all. It's digital. Hell.
Not
takes a
hard.
Second. All right, number two. I burnt some toast yesterday. I burn toast a lot. I burn it. What? Because my toaster has this, like, Brody knob on it. You can set it to 25, and if you set it, you know, anything over 20, and it'll burn whatever's in there.
Right.
You stuff a loaf of bread in there, and it'll burn the whole loaf.
Right.
And I felt like an idiot. Like, I shouldn't have turned the knob that far. I should have checked the knob. And then I thought, why does it go that high? Why do toasters have a setting where you actually can burn them? You know what I mean? Like, jacuzzis don't have a setting where they would actually boil you and kill you. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to set my, I'm going to set my car heater to blast furnace so my face will melt. Like, why does it have enough? First I was mad at myself, but then I realized, why does it let me do this?
Well, no, you should be mad at both. I should be mad at me. Right.
I should be mad at the toaster as well. Why does it have a charcoal setting? I mean, literally. Black Wesley Snipes on both sides of this piece of pumpernickel. Why is it? Why?
That's a good question.
Just stop at a certain point.
Just light or dark?
Yes.
Can,
but at a certain point, as I was scraping the entire... Yeah. Once you get down to your hand, when you're scraping the toast, it means there's nothing left of the toast. Why would it let me ruin the toast? I smell a lawsuit. That's all I'm saying.
Class action lawsuit.
All right. And number one, talking about Thanksgiving, the electric knife. Now, the electric knife only comes out once a year, comes out for the turkey. Right. And for some reason, it works. It sounds like the world's laziest idea, doesn't it? Oh,
sure.
Man, my arm is so tired from going back and forth three times. Bob, take over. I got lactic acid in my forearm. I got to sit down and have some nog, shake it out a little bit. I'll be back to carve up the breast. I mean, it's weird, but it works. And by the way, you know you've arrived as a country. Like, you show me a country with electric knives, I'll show you a country that's doing pretty good. So goddamn fat and lazy they can't even saw their own turkey. But then
you put the electric knife away? Here's what I want. I want the electric butter knife. I don't mind carving the turkey once a year on my own. I don't like buttering the toast, speaking of toast that
and
I
you
burn.
You do it every day.
You do it every day. How about some magical electric knife that would butter up that English muffin of yours? Mm. Or kill your wife. I'm just saying, why?
Whoa.
I'm just saying, why are we limiting it to the turkey one? That's all I'm saying. Wouldn't you rather have a beautiful electric knife that just spread a nice pad of butter? Butter gets hard in the refrigerator. Tough to spread on the bread. Electric butter knife. Scientists get to work on it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Then you'll have something to be thankful for.
Yes. Wow.
AdamCarolla.com is the site. There's a K-Ace radio station of all Adam all the time and his favorite music direct from his iTunes library, if you can believe it. And, of course, both of his awesome podcasts are there, too. Ace, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. We'll see you next month, man.
Thanks.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Carolla made us all sign a pledge in blood that we wouldn't serve canned cranberry this holiday season.
He's serious about that.
Yeah,
he's really taking it pretty seriously. Yeah. A lot of people do. A lot of people look forward to, you know, they love Thanksgiving. It's their favorite meal of the year. And that's why it's always exciting when something new comes out. And new for 2009, just unveiled Monday of this week, by the way, for the first time anywhere in New York City, is the nation's first 100-proof turkey.
Now, proof is how they tell you how strong the alcohol is in a drink. I think beer is, what, 6-8% or something like that?
Yeah,
and then you get into the 20s and 30s. That's a high, high alcoholic level. 100-proof. Is basically just jet fuel.
Oh,
yeah.
How could you do that?
I mean, maybe you wouldn't. I don't think you'd want to drink something that's pure alcohol, 100-proof alcohol, but maybe it's the way the flavor soaks into the meat or something. But it's a fruit-flavored, 100-proof vodka. The turkey is soaked for 3 days before being cooked. The flavor of vodka includes peach, raspberry, cherry, and apple. The gravy is also laced with liquor, by the way.
Is this for people who are too lazy to... get a drink?
I mean, if
you love vodka, can't you have one with your meal?
Yes, you absolutely could.
Yeah, and by the way, there's a reason we serve turkey every year, because it tastes good. What's wrong with having a turkey and having it taste like a turkey? And then, like Kevin says, if you want to wash that down with some distilled spirits, go ahead and do that. But we just were fascinated when we saw this story in the New York Times. So we asked producer Alex to line up the man behind the 100-proof turkey. And I believe we have him or her on the phone right now. Hi, Kevin and Bean Show here. Hello.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you, sir?
I'm hoftastic. That's how I am.
Is this David Hasselhoff?
Yeah, David Hasselhoff.
I'm sorry. We were trying to reach the person who has the 100-proof turkey.
You've got him, guys. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand. What is your... I mean, you're
Bob
there by...
the rock.
You're there buying K-Rock. One of these turkeys, or what? Why are you there, David?
Yeah. What? You have tickets for that show you guys are doing?
Yeah.
How far is the hotel from that show? Can I just come down and get the tickets?
Too far. Would you buy the 100-proof turkey?
Yeah.
100-proof.
Hey, is that great?
Well, I mean, it seems like overkill.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you can drink alcohol if you want to drink alcohol,
but
right?
You can't drink it while you're eating turkey.
Okay,
right.
But what
if
kind of
a
rush?
You've got a turkey in your mouth. You can't get a drink in your mouth at the same time. Believe me, I've tried.
Okay, well, you can't wait that 5 seconds for a drink?
Coach J. Fantastico.
Okay, so is this something that you invented, Huff?
I did, yeah. This is my invention. And I'm taste testing it right now. I got to tell you. Oh, that is moist.
Well, you probably should have someone else.
Moist and delicious.
You should have somebody else taste test it, though, Hoff, because...
That's probably enough for right now. Save some of that for Thanksgiving, for tomorrow, David.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. See, you don't have much of a tolerance for liquor anymore.
I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Hoff.
This is a mess.
Maybe you should think of getting into a business that doesn't involve alcohol.
I'm gonna wash it down with some gravy.
Gravy has alcohol in it too, by the way.
You're drinking gravy right now, Hoff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is not a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
You all right?
This is a mess. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope what?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving
to you, but back away from the table. You shouldn't be having any more of that, David. You got a problem with alcohol.
I'm all right.
Okay.
This is a mess.
Yeah.
All right.
This
you gotta,
turkey's a mess.
Yeah. You know, but you don't want to show up on Thanksgiving like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go stuff the turkey.
Right.
Is that a euphemism? Or?
Yep.
That's real.
That means I'm going to have sex with a turkey.
Oh, man. I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden we can hear him clear.
Yeah, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
A turkey's going to be a mess, too.
I bet
oh,
it is.
No.
Wow.
This went horribly awry.
Yeah. The pilgrims landed on Plymouth Hoff.
Oh, come on.
You're not even trying. Well, he's drunk.
I'm
he's
drunk.
Doing the best
what
he can.
For me?
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. We got to go, Hoff.
I wish you would.
106.7 K-Rock. KROQ, and it's 5 minutes till 9.
What about Team Alice? What about Ashley Green from the Twilight New Moon movie? What about her, by the way?
There is no team. I don't know that there is a Team Alice, but there certainly should be.
Should be. She's the sister of the vampire?
Yes. She's Edward's
sister. Is she a vampire, too?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Super hot. Anyway, Ashley Green from Twilight joins us in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesday now, Ralph joins us with the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
A Swiss court has approved Roman Polanski's bail of $4.5 million to be released from prison today. Well,
that's
good. He's not a flight risk.
Right, not at all.
He'll be fine.
Apparently, is that unusually high?
Yes.
That number?
Yeah. Yes. And they're also going to keep him under house arrest with an electronic monitoring bracelet at his Swiss chalet, so they're pretty sure he's not going to get anywhere.
I'm so not a raper!
But better to be in a Swiss chalet than to be in a Swiss jail.
Cut.
Although Swiss jails are made out of chocolate.
They are?
You can nibble on the bars. It's like being captured by Willy Wonka.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
That's cool. Yeah. So, for those of you who are following that story, he has made bail, but I don't think he's going anywhere. So, we'll see. Rob Kardashian.
Glendale.
Don't do it if you're not going to do it with gusto, by the way.
I agree.
If you're not going to commit
do
to it,
or
if you're not going to deliver, if you're not going to perform it, then don't even bother.
I thought that was a good read.
No, it was not. You know the difference.
Do it again. Do it again.
That was a board read.
Rob Kardashian.
Glendale.
Much see what I'm
there
saying?
You go. Much
there
you go.
You still think the first one was a good read, by
no,
the way?
No, you're right.
100%. 100% good read. 100%.
My bad.
He's got a new girlfriend. You know, he used to date Bailon. What was her name?
Adrian.
Bailon. Adrian Bailon of the Cheetah Girls.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
In fact, he had her name in cursive writing, about a 38-point font on his ribs.
Tattooed,
yes.
Oh.
What a dumbass.
It's written on his side, all over his ribs, her name with a curly Q sort of cursive design. And now he's got a new girlfriend. How does that go over? Well, I guess it doesn't bother the new girlfriend so much because she is Lisa Ann. And Lisa Ann, for those you don't know, is an adult film star.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
You probably know her best as the lead role in the legendary Who's Nailin' Palin video.
She's pretty cute.
She is pretty cute.
Yeah.
She looks a lot like Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin, yeah.
She is considerably older than Rob Kardashian, who was the baby brother of Khloe and Kim and Courtney. And she says to TMZ, by the way, you can see on TMZ.com for the rest of the story, Rob treats me like his little teacher, and we have a fun sexual relationship that is simple and carefree. He brings out the total cougar in me, and I just like to teach him things.
Well, all right.
Happy Thanksgiving. I know what Rob's going to be thankful for.
Yeah, no kidding.
When he's carving the turkey.
Is that a position?
Yeah, carving the turkey. Breaking the wishbone, you know what I'm saying?
I can't picture. I don't know, no.
By wishbone, I mean cervix.
Ah.
Get out!
Thank you for clarifying.
I'm just trying to make sure you understand what I'm talking about.
Got it.
Want some poppers? Hey, come on, now. Lady Gaga is not attractive, but
no,
she seems to be very nice. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but she was autographing copies of her new CD for fans at a Best Buy.
Best Buy?
In West Hollywood last week. And apparently about 1,000 people showed up to get an autograph. And so what she did was she got her cell phone and she called a local pizza joint and had them deliver pizza for 1,000 outside the store where people were queued up to get her autograph.
Wow.
And she's hungry hooker with a huge vagina.
No, she's not. She seems like a very nice girl. And she fed all of her fans who were waiting in line for her autograph.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
Can't she do something nice without being mocked?
Not with
What's
these
that
people.
Smell?
Oh, come Aww. On.
She's not attractive, but she's a butterface.
Yeah, yeah.
Neck
yeah.
down, she's strong.
Well, she's a little droopy, I think. If you see her in the outfits without the a bra on, she's a little droopy for her girl her age.
All right.
And speaking of naked women, Lindsay Lohan is in the news. Her career is exactly on fire these days, so she's doing what any right-thinking American woman would do in her case.
Hook?
Taking her clothes off. She has done a photo shoot for a French magazine called Purple.
Oh.
I read their other magazine called Helmet. It's
yes.
excellent.
Really?
Yeah.
I get that.
And apparently she does a simulated menage a trois, as the French like to call it.
All right.
With her and another lady and another fella. Mm-hmm. And they have a shoot where apparently she is in various states of disrobement.
Yes! Oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh! Oh, my
take it
gosh!
Easy. Youngster, take it easy.
Oh, my gosh!
No, that's all right, kid.
Oh, my gosh!
It's really not for you so much.
Oh, my gosh!
These photos are not for you.
Oh, my gosh!
No, you wanna,
oh, my gosh! Oh,
put,
oh my gosh!
Put those back oh in your dad's oh drawer.
Oh, my gosh!
No, it's not. Oh, magazine is not for you.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
No, you should not be looking at those photos.
Oh my gosh!
No.
Oh my gosh!
Give us,
oh my gosh!
Give us back the magazine.
Forgive it.
Oh my gosh!
Hand it
no.
over.
Oh!
No.
Yes!
No.
Yes!
No.
Yes! Yes!
No,
oh
no,
my gosh!
No.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
No.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
No.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Oh, oh my gosh! Oh yeah!
Okay.
Yes! Wow.
That's come on. Kids should be reading.
Excited about the pictures.
Kids should be reading Purple Junior, not Purple.
That's right. Too young for that.
That's right.
I hope we never have to hear her again.
Yeah, I hope not, too. I think that's the last thing any of us want.
All right. Hey, Marconi, you finished it all with your little sound bites? You done now?
Sorry. Just entertaining ourselves.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, game show host, and Mr. Personality, Ben Stein, 65 years old today. Anyone? Bueller? Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Love Ben. Great dude.
John Larroquette, very talented actor, is 62 years old today. Tim Armstrong of Rancid is 44. Jill Hennessy celebrates her 40th birthday today. Christine Applegate is 38. Quarterback, Pro Bowl quarterback for a team along the eastern seaboard of these United States.
Giants?
Nope. South of there.
Baltimore?
Miami? Ravens? North of there.
Miami?
Donovan McNabb is his name.
Tennessee Titans.
Not familiar with.
Elite quarterback Donovan McNabb celebrates
Carolina
his
Panthers?
33rd birthday today.
New England Patriots?
33rd birthday. Same age as Jesus. Coincidence? I think not. He can also walk on water.
That's not true.
Or turf, depending on how you look at it.
But he couldn't beat the Raiders.
And Katie Cassidy. Katie Cassidy from Melrose Place, who's just a adorable... delectable, and could not be sweeter, could not be nicer. We had her on the show, and she was charming and funny, and she's also very talented, and I look forward to seeing more of her work in the future. In Purple Magazine. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick reminder, by the way, go to kevinandbean.com. You can vote for Miss Double December 2010. We got over, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, but more than 10,000 votes just yesterday after it went up on the site, by the way.
And that was, people. Wow. All of those were from me.
I'm not surprised.
Spent the day.
9 great finalists who will wear the crown, live broadcast 1 week from Friday in Fullerton at the Slide Bar. You can get all the details at kevinandbean.com. Check out all the chicks. Vote for your favorite. And you can look at that. And also Ashley Green from Twilight in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, the Afro line is on the air. You call us. Leave a message. We play it back. 323-520-AFRO. That's the number.
I just saw a midget running. I mean, what's the point? No matter how much weight you lose, no matter what you do, there'll always be a midget.
Well, so why fight it?
I think the point is they're not trying to change being a midget. They just want to be in shape.
Yeah.
No, but he makes a good point. No matter what they do, they're still a People McNugget.
Yeah, I'm on the 101. Look over to my right. Super tool, Ryan Seacrest. Do you guys know that his license plate says?
Now, what would you guess? His license plate reads.
God.
Oh, now that's really interesting.
Yep.
It has to be something about his multimedia empire. It has to be Idol host or something like that, or Kiss DJ. You know, I would imagine it's something that says, hey, look at me.
Idol host one, lame.
Idol host
wow,
one.
You
oh, really? Are you kidding me?
Idol host
and
one.
And that is lame.
That's his
yeah.
ass. Wow.
Hey, Ryan, we know that you're the host of American Idol. You don't have to put it on your license yeah. plate.
But you have the he shoots, he scores guy from Florida.
Randy Moeller. Yeah. He does the play-by-play for the Florida Panthers. He is such an awesome play-by-play guy because he likes to work in a pop culture reference after every goal scored.
Comes Kreps down the right side. He's got Scratsons with him. Kreps fires a shot. Rebound. They score! Pour some sugar on me.
I love that dude. What's he up to? What's going on?
Well, it's not him. It's just that we have a lot of calls that reference that. So I just want to give people an idea where it comes from. So basically, our listeners call, and they start with he shoots, he scores, and then they end it with something funny.
He shoots, he scores. How's a 12-ounce roll of sausage supposed to feed 600 pounds of men? At least. Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
And then there's the Miss Cleo clock, which really is the best thing ever. And I'd like to just play it for those of you who haven't heard it, and then the call is reference to that.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
Hey, Miss Cleo, I got a with a I want to show you, such as... Those and similar to.
Nice. Well done. That's how you win Miss Cleo over, is mocking her on-air performance, by the way.
Yeah, this message is for that annoying woman that talks on your show. Listen, you dumb broad. You are stupid. Your opinion does
wow.
not matter.
Wow,
everything
dude.
That comes out of your stupid face is annoying.
Wow.
I hate everything that you've ever said about anything. So do me a favor and just stay on that stupid little island of yours in Washington State and die. Oh, yeah, and hey, Lisa Mae, you're awesome.
You see what he did there?
Oh, that was awesome.
I just heard Dave the King of Mexico's review of the new Twilight movie, and he said it was better than the first one. If all the second movie was all the actors going out and dropping a... in the woods, it would be better than the first one.
We'll see that too, by the way. A lot of people very excited about this next topic.
It's back. After years of being away, the McRib is back. There's a party in my tummy. So yummy. So yummy. Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, the McRib has its fans, and I don't understand why McDonald's keeps taking it away and then bringing it back, because clearly people love it.
My friends who are Marines honestly believe it alternates between going to the bases as mm-hmm. being part of, you know, in the mess hall and back to McDonald's.
Oh, you're kidding.
They say it's every 100% of the time, as soon as they discontinue the McRib at McDonald's, it starts showing up, like, nightly on their base.
Really?
Yeah. They're convinced.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't think I understand that. Okay.
Huh.
Christmas trees. I hate Christmas trees. I mean, are they really selling them now? It's a month away. It's going to die. I hate you, Christmas trees. Burn, Christmas trees. Burn!
I don't think that's the spirit.
Yeah, no. And I think a tree can last a month if you take care of it and get the right tree.
Oh, no, they'll fall apart. They'll turn into just dust by that point. King of Mexico, big Clipper fan. He's done a lot of Clipper songs. He did one at the beginning of the season. And he's literally been waiting since the first game to get us to replay the song. But they haven't won.
Yeah.
Every yeah. day he comes in, he's like, I would like to have you play the song again, but they lost. Oh, I would like to ask for the song, but they lost again.
It's so sad.
But as soon as they win, I'm going to call the Afro line.
Hey, Kevin, what up? Dave. You know, the Clippers did something that the Lakers couldn't do, beat Denver. You know why? Because the Clippers run this town. Hit it, Steve.
Can you feel it in the air?
Yeah.
Change is coming. Are you scared?
Nope.
I'm addicted to this team.
I'm ready.
Red, white, blue is all I need.
What's up?
Can't be scared when we are down.
Uh-huh.
Know that things will turn around.
That's right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
What up?
Clips run this town tonight.
Clippers!
Will the Clips run this town tonight?
Clipper Nation! Yeah.
The Clips will run this town.
CLIPPERS. This is
Clipper Nation, pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on, put on anything. Represent the Clippers all day, every day. Our fans are not stars, not Kardashians. I'll talk more than just about anyone. This is my familia. Blake can be a savior, but for now, let me get back to my rager. Baron brings it down and then lights it up. Dancing Daryl gets the crowd going and all pumped. And yeah, I'm saying bingo. When we get those threes flowing, ready or not, you become a fan before you even know it. Hold up.
Starting Cayman and Telfair.
Yep.
Can be involved and will lead us there.
That's right.
So keep doing what you do.
What?
And your fans will stick by you.
Word.
Victory is in our grasp.
Yeah.
About time we kick some ass.
Right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
Yeah.
Will the Clips run this town?
Let's
tonight?
Go. Is upon us, and every year I say this is the year, but you know what, this is it. This is the year where we make a run at the NBA championship. Big shout out to Blake Griffin, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, Marcus Camby, and everyone else on the team. This is Dave, the King of Mexico, representing the Clipper Nation forever. What's up?
I don't know that winning one game constitutes running this town, by the way.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a short week. Ralph, what you talking about?
Dave and I were just in the other room watching one of our Miss Double December pageant contestants.
Yeah,
doing a little video work that she shot.
Yes.
She put the wrong thing down on the application regarding what her talent is.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I think it needed to be something that she could do in front of the crowd at the live broadcast.
Yeah,
but I'm saying she can't do that talent.
Why not?
On stage in front of the crowd.
Why not?
Well, because...
Airtight seal.
Well, let's not discuss it here.
She is fun.
Yeah.
And
fun.
Gifted.
Yes, gifted, but also enthusiastic and eager.
And natural.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
And no more votes, we have a winner. That's all I'm saying.
Well, let's not say that.
It's all over.
Voting right through the fourth.
No, it's all over.
It's not over.
Supreme Court just called.
There's no Supreme Court for this.
Oh, really? Oh, there's no Supreme Court. Maybe not in America, but in my America, there's still a Supreme Court, Kevin.
Which justice
called?
There are
called? Nine beautiful, talented
justice
women.
Justice Boner.
Still running for Miss Double December 2010. You can go to kevinamine.com and cast your vote as many times as you want. You can see their bios, see their pictures, and a little bit of research will lead you to the video that Ralph was just describing.
Justice Pantent. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we?
Sure.
Don't have much time here. Got to move it along. Congratulations to Donny Osmond, who won the Mirror Ball. That is the trophy for Dancing with the Stars, in case you don't know. And if you don't know, good for you.
How did they pick a mirror ball? Do you know? I mean, what's the...
Because it's dancing, you know, on the dance floor. They've got the big mirror ball over a dance floor, and people dance on a dance floor, and it's dancing.
Dumb.
And then there's dancing.
So, it's been a long season, but Donny Osmond pulled it off. I don't know anything about the show. All I know is I saw a clip while they were talking about this morning on the news. Donny Osmond with his makeup and clothes done like he was Adam Ant from the 80s.
Really?
That's all I needed to know.
Really?
I'll never watch that show for fear of maybe seeing something like that again.
Yeah. Safer. You just got to avoid it.
Speaking of TV and sex and Adam Lambert.
Yes.
He is in a bit of trouble. You know, he did that American Music Awards performance and everyone's talking about it because they said it had too much sexual content.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, people are upset about it because it had too much gay sexual content.
Well, that's what he says, too. He says there's a double standard, and that's one of the reasons he's speaking out about it.
Madonna can come out and grab her crotch, and Britney mm-hmm. Spears can come out and make out with a chick or whatever, and everyone's like, woo-hoo-hoo, isn't that funny? But a gay dude comes out and does it, and everyone spins out of control.
Yeah, but, I mean, Janet Jackson, for example, was not a gay thing. She's a heterosexual.
But she showed a nipple, though. She was nudity. There was no nudity in this.
Yeah.
He kissed another dude, and apparently that's spinning people out. So ABC was supposed to have him on their morning show, and they canceled him. They gave him the boot.
Really?
Yeah. So CBS said, you can become on our morning show.
Why?
So he went over and did the early show this morning.
Why did they say no? They were afraid he would do that again?
They've gotten a bunch of bad flack because of the performance.
Huh. Huh.
A lot of people were outraged.
Strange.
A lot of strongly worded letters.
Hmm.
Hmm.
So CBS picked up and said, come on over and perform on our show. So he sat down for an interview and said pretty much the same thing. It's like, look, it's a performance. It was sexually charged, yes, but it wasn't indecent. There was no nudity or anything. He doesn't know why people are so up in arms.
I like Adam Lambert. He won me over week after week on American Idol. I wasn't a big fan of his at the beginning, but now I like him a lot. I think he's very talented. I was not certainly impressed with that song he did on the AMAs the other night. That did not float my boat, but I think he's got a lot to offer.
Yeah, I do too.
The song did not float your boat?
Yes, I'm saying it did not appeal to me as a good piece of music.
Terrifying. He can certainly sing, though, that guy.
Yeah, definitely. He's an entertainer.
He's got
he misses his audience.
He's got some gifts.
Want some poppers?
No, I do not. Thank you so much, though. Miley Cyrus in the news. Apparently, the New York Post says she was in a burger joint recently, and she was asked what name to put on her order, and she giggled, Miley, and the dude said, okay, and just typed it in, and she was sort of put out that he did not recognize her to be the superstar that she is. So she volunteered, according to onlookers, my name's Miley Cyrus. And the guy casually looked up, said, well, how nice for you, and went back to his living.
Atta boy! Atta boy!
If he didn't know, good for him. Yeah. And if he didn't know, better for him.
Yeah. God bless him.
I couldn't be prouder of her if she were my own daughter. Oh, come to think of it, she is my own daughter.
Oh,
you're right.
Damn.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I wish she wasn't. You know what I mean?
Somebody needs their ass kicked. I got 16 ounces of sausage. That's all I know.
Damn.
I bought some of that Jimmy Dean sausage, by the way. We've been talking about it so much. I saw it in the store. I said, oh, I haven't had that in a while. I'm going to slice me up some Jimmy Dean sausage.
Can you finish that story and the showbiz in 45 seconds?
Goodbye.
I'm just saying.
I'm done.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show?
Nope. Really? I'm taking tomorrow off. I don't know about you.
I'm going to do Thanksgiving instead.
Monday morning, all new Kevin and Bean show?
Hurry.
All three Miss Double Decembers are coming in.
Hurry!
Three Miss Double Decembers! That's what I have for you.
Including the goer, by the way, Ralph, is going to be here Monday in studio.
I love her so much.
Yeah. So that's Monday on an all new Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Cat Corbett's next. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you Monday.